Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
My fellow Americans, basically, he says, I have an announcement to make. There's another virus. And he starts explaining to everybody that this virus is basically a new virus that is going to door COVID, that made COVID look like it was a wimpy virus compared to what this new virus is. The death ratio was skyrocketing even more higher than COVID did. This started in Europe, which was interesting, and he was making an announcement that we were going on lockdown again. Instantaneously, I felt like, oh no, this is what I see.
Daughter, speak. Do you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? History will repeat this. Soon many will be tested in the furnace. A tyrant leader will appear with a hidden agenda. Do not fear, I will be with you. Many will be put in prison and put to death for following I am. Do not fear. My angels will be with you in the time of need. My children will be saved and spared.
Then he tells me, I was watching President Trump speaking from the White House, telling the people that now that the economy has fallen, telling the people, asking the people to remain calm, and telling them that when he came into office, the economy was already pretty bad, and that what he did, he worked hard with many of his staff, with his staff that he had chosen to work for the nation, to keep the economy going, trying to restore the economy back again. But he was telling them that the economy is falling now. And he said, but I still believe if we work together, we can bring this economy back. He was telling the people. You can see the faces of the people listening to him, very angry and very disappointed. He had a self-faith of him, speaking from the White House to the nation about this economy that has fallen, and that he did everything in his power and worked hard day after day to keep this, to try to bring this economy back. But now there was nothing else he can do. But he said, but he learned there was nothing he can do because it failed. The stock market failed completely.
Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Jehoshua. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Amen. I'm here for another Bible study. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We thank God for the message on Sunday. Good God spoke to us and blessed us so much. I'm going to go ahead and continue with some of that information, but tonight, since it's a Bible study, we're going to go ahead and explain it more through the Bible, through the Word. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got God's word in our hand, and we're going to go ahead and study the word. We're going to focus on that. We're going to leave the politics, the government, all that aside. We're focusing on Jesus in the word, not the world, but Jesus, my brother and sister, because we want to be ready for his coming, that when the shofar, the trumpet sound, we disappear. We're out of here, because if we're focused on this so much, we may stay here, and we don't want to stay. We want to escape. It's what the calling of our life is, to get out of here. Soon as the Lord, God have his angel sound the trumpet, the shofar, we want to get out of here, my brother and sister. Very important. We understand that the closeness of the Lord coming. He is so close to come that we don't want to, hallelujah, be looking into the world much. We want to be looking into the Lord, looking after the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll continue from there. Lord, we ask you to speak to us, Lord. You minister to us, Lord. Reveal your word to us, Lord. Help me remember what you were showing me last night, Lord, that I may share with your people. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, with clarity. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 2, my brother and sister, is where I'm going to begin, because we started there on Sunday. We only read a couple of verses, but we're going to read more now and understand what God is saying to us, to the nations, in this end time, end of the world, before the return of Jesus. God's word will come to pass 100%. This is why it's so important we stay focused on Jesus and his word, because, hallelujah, as he said he will do, he is going to do. He fulfilled his word, my brother and sister. Jeremiah chapter 2 says, and the word of Jehovah came to me. This is from the standard American Standard Version Bible. The word of Jehovah came to me saying, go and cry in the ear of Jerusalem. This is when God sent the prophet Jeremiah to go preach to them. He was called a crying prophet. Jeremiah was called the crying prophet because he will go cry to the people. Well, he will go speak to them. It was a cry to him. It was so difficult because first he was young. That's what he says to the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 1, that he was just but a boy. He was young. Amen. So the word of Jehovah came to me saying, go and cry in the ear of Jerusalem, saying, thus say Jehovah, I remember for thee kindness and of thy youth. So God is reminding them of him having kindness on them. Let me go ahead and just choose the amplifier on this. Amen. He says, now the word of the Lord came to me, go proclaim in the year Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember earnestly the loving kindness and devotion of your youth. Amen. This is how Israel is to serve God. Your time is betrayal like the bride during the earthly year in Egypt and against Sinai, the mountain. When you follow me in the wilderness through the land not sown. It was wilderness. It was the hardest place anyone can go through. But Israel went into it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's not important right now, Brother Joseph. Amen. So going through the wilderness as God had called them to go through, this is us, because God has made the same calling on our life. And that's why I say we need to stay focused on Jesus. Let the world, let the dead bury the dead, Jesus said to the disciples. We need to stay focused on the Lord because he's so close to come. Great judgments are coming upon the earth. We got 3 days of darkness. We got a plague. We got a mighty tsunami. We want to be found worthy to escape. And the only way we're going to escape is having Jesus on our side, on our life. Us crying after him, trusting on him for what is coming. Because there's nothing in the world that's going to keep us safe. But God in the world can keep us safe, my brother and sister. And this is important. We stay focused on the Lord. Very, very important, and not on the world. Verse 3. Israel was holy, something set apart from ordinary purpose, consecrated to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest, in which the outsider were allowed to share. Okay? No outsider was allowed to share. And all who ate of the injuring of Israel became guilty, even came on them, saith the Lord. So God is saying how Israel was called by God, separated unto himself. We, the bride of Christ, are called by God, separated unto himself, my brother and sister. And so it's important we understand that our calling, first of all, and when you live according to your calling, you will find joy and happiness in the Lord. Okay? You will be set free every day from the things of the world. That's why your mind and your heart needs to be on Christ, on the Word, every day. Not on the world. Okay? We're in the world, Jesus told his disciple. Okay? But we've been chosen of the world, he says. Amen. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So you need to understand the mindset we need to have. Focus on Jesus only. It's a great thing that Donald Trump win. But Donald Trump cannot save America. Shalom, Sister Tony. Donald Trump cannot save America. Only Jesus Christ. Problems in the world are going to continue. He will do his best to help this nation. But it will not be enough. Only the Lord can save this nation. My brother and sister, you need to understand this so in the next 4 years, you won't be heartbroken. Because a lot of people, and God is showing this, a lot of heartbrokenness by people coming up. Because people think Donald Trump is going to save the economy, and that's not going to be the case. He's going to do his best, but his best is not enough. Okay? Even with good intention, it won't be enough. Because this economy, it may not be savable anymore. Only God can help us. Only the Lord can sustain us, keep us safe, and keep us, hallelujah, with what we need. Help us through all this way, my brother and sister. Not going to be easy. Especially if you don't put your eyes on the Lord now. If you're wavering, if you're backsliding, if you're not firm in your faith, then it gets even harder in the days to come. Because you say, oh, we trusted that Donald Trump was going to fix everything. Well, you should not have your trust in all your air basket, all your... Donald Trump is not our basket for all of us to keep our egg in it. Jesus Christ is. You can put all your egg in Jesus Christ, and he will not fail you. Okay? You will have food to eat. Okay? Your egg will not be broken, my brothers and sisters. I am telling you right now, focus your eyes on the Lord, because in the years to come, there's going to be a lot of heartbroken people who thought that Trump was going to fix America. No, only Jesus Christ can fix the world. That's why he's making the earth and the heaven new. He says, I make all things new in the book of Revelation, because he's the only one that can help us in all this. And as long as you understand this, this will keep you afloat. This will keep you firm in the Lord, only to depend on Jesus. So focus on the Lord and not on the world, please. Verse 4, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the family of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what injustice or unrighteousness did your father find in me? Talking about this because people speak about God like this so much. There's so much fault in God like this. They can see all these things that in God that nobody else can see, that they can see so clearly, okay? Which is, it's really not the at all. There's no fault in God. God has never failed anyone who trusted in him, my brother and sister. But you got all these people in the world judging God today, thinking that their way is the way. And that's one of the justifications homosexuals and gays and lesbians and abortionists are using. Oh, what kind of God, if a boy is born a boy, wants to be a girl, it's not fine for him to be where he wants to be. And they start justifying everything to the other side. And that's totally wrong. The people in the time of Noah did this, in the time of Lot did this, it did not went well with them, because God is the one that made all, the creator that made all things. He sets the rule. He set his commandments straight for us. And every time God in Genesis created something, he saw that it was good. He inspected it. He made sure it was good. And he saw that it was good, my brother and sister. So everything he made it perfect. And in that perfection of his son, Jesus Christ, is what he's demanding from each and one of us, which is calling holiness and righteousness. Hallelujah. Trump is not going to fix all. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He's going to do his best, but he's going to fall short on many occasions. And this is what's going to make a lot of people angry, because the other side is going to point finger and say, oh, you're look at your old Republican that voted for Trump, that wanted him in office. Look, everything has not changed. Look how this is doing, worse maybe. Or look, he made this change and look how it's going. And there's going to be so many people pointing finger at those that voted for Trump. And this is where people can lose their faith. This is where the backsliding can abandon God, abandon the church, abandon their faith, abandon their belief. Dangerous time is ahead, and only the Lord can bring us through it, my brother and sister. So at this moment, we enjoy Donald Trump winning, but for sure we know he is not the Savior. He's not going to save America. He's not going to save the economy. When something is too far gone, it cannot be saved. Our economy has been too far gone. Obama, 4 years in office, sink the economy. Then Biden for another 4 years, 12 years of wickedness and evil they have done to our economy to sink it to the worst. And my brother and sister, to save, hallelujah, to save the economy from what they done, hallelujah, it's very difficult. Very difficult to do so. And we need to understand that, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We need to understand it. Hallelujah. We need to know for a fact by the word that only the Lord can save it, my brother and sister, that there is no other way for this to happen, that only Jesus Christ can save the economy, my brother and sister. I'm looking into those 12 years because it has to be in the Bible, and I know it's significant. My brother and sister, everything that happens, you can look it up, hallelujah, in the Bible, and hallelujah. You can see because there were king in Israel who had a short governor or governor for short season, but brought much destruction, my brother and sister. Oh, my Lord, my God. God help us in all this. Let me keep reading in Jeremiah. I'll be back to it. Okay, so Jeremiah 2:6 says, where 4 says, God says, hear the word of the Lord, house of Jacob, all the family of the house of Israel. That says the Lord, what injustice or unrighteousness did you find in me, that they have wandered far from me, and eventually walk after emptiness and filthiness and became empty of fertility. And the nations don't realize that before God, this is where we are spiritually. This is what they are spiritually. They're judging God. Spoke about this lightly in the word on the Lord's Hour a few weeks or a few months ago. How you hear people judging God like God is so unrighteous and so unjust. And the behavior of these people in the last days of judging God was the same behavior when Israel had forsaken God, gone after other gods that were not God. We're going to read that to you. And they were backsliding. And when people are backsliding, this is how they feel about God. They feel like they look at God and say, he's so unjust. He's so unrighteous. Two things that today you're here in the word, in the mouth of the homosexuals and gays and lesbians. It's in the word of God. Just the word that are in their mouth. Two of the word that are in their mouth. It's in the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 2, my brother and sister, that chapter points to the United States and the nation today so clearly on how these people are walking and living in the last days. And even what they're saying, even what's coming out of their heart through their mouth and the word, the judging God, they feel like they have the right to judge God. But it's nothing new. This is a 3,000-year word from the Bible. And these people did this. And this generation that you and I are living around is doing the same. They feel so righteous in their own eyes. Okay? They justify themselves. And God said, what injustice or unrighteousness did your father find in me? Because, you know, when these people, that they have wandered far from me, and far from God is the pride. God looks at the prideful from far, Proverbs says. So this far from God is pridefulness, pride, that walking in pride. And they, in their pride, they feel like they can judge God. Not only God judge people or God's people, because they've been doing that for years. Now they feel like they can judge God, my brother and sister. So their problem with God's people, I won't say had ended, but it's not so much now. Now they feel like they can judge the Creator. And are these people thought that God was unjust and unrighteous, so are these people in the last days. But their spiritual condition, God said, is they have wandered far from me. Pride, my brother and sister. Walk after emptiness and futility and became empty. And let me look that word futility, because I have an idea of what that word means, but I want to look it up. My brother and sister, this is incredible. Hallelujah. The quality of having no useful result or uselessness. So they see that God is useless to them, in another word. They don't need him. They don't need him. They feel like it. And these are spirits and demons working in their life. This is the work of Satan and these people's life. And this is why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Because, see, it's when you move your eyes from the Lord that the devil can come and confuse you, deceive you, mislead you, misguide you. But as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, the devil cannot do that to you. Shalom, the Lord's servant. So very important, my brother and sister, that we understand by the word. What is going on? As people say, what is going on, brother? Well, let's go into the word and let's find out what's going on. Because the word of God tells us what's going on. So Jeremiah 2 says here, they did not say, where is the Lord? They did not say, where is the Lord? Who brought us from the land of Egypt. This is a people that instead of giving glory to God for bringing them out of Egypt, God says that they did not say, where is the Lord? They did not accredit the Lord for bringing them through the wilderness. And this is a problem, my brother and sister, who brought us from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of the desert and of the pit. That's a really bad land to walk through. I saw a video online how bad that is. It's really bad, and it looks like it was worse back then. And God brought his people through the land from Egypt to the land of Israel. God being with them, my brothers and sisters. Through the land of drought and deep darkness, of shadow of death. Through the land that no man passes through and where no man liveth. You're talking about the desert, which, and that's a really bad desert, really no, being,
be in the worst place that anyone can go through in their lives. In God bringing them through all this mess, all these difficulties in their life, they did not give God glory. They did not recognize God. They did not praise him for keeping them safe. Personal relationship with God, they were not there with God in personal relationship. And that, my brother and sister, brings a lot of sorrow to people's life. Because if you don't have God, what do you have? Complain, sorrow, pain. And God don't want us, God wants us to have his joy. His peace, not like the world giveth. All that you receive in personal relationship with him, spending time with him. The only way that that can come to you is by spending time with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I repent of any worry in my life right now. Anything I'm concerned for, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry, Lord, I repent. I actually take from your worry and your concern, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. See, if you're worried about something, pray it off. Rebuke, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Give it to the Lord, our old burden, heavy burden. Hallelujah. Give it to the Lord. Pray it. Lord, I give my burden to you, my concern to you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I don't want to be worried for anything because I do not want to sin in Jesus' name. Pray this every day as much as you need. And ask the Lord, Lord, give me your peace, not like the world giveth, Lord, but like you give it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Give me your shalom, Jesus. Pray, ask. Ask. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, for something to go away from your life is just to ask and to give. My brother and sister, ask and thou shalt receive. Verse 7, I brought you unto plentiful land to eat fruit and enjoy good things. You, hallelujah, but you came and defiled my land and you made an inheritance a repulsive. See? We can take something God gives us and make it really bad, my brother and sister, when we're not walking right with God. God can give you something so beautiful that other people see it so beautiful, but you don't see it if you're not walking right with God. And you can make something beautiful. God brought them into a plentiful land. It was the land that God promised that flowed with milk and honey. Plenty of cow, plenty of honey. Plenty of everything they need to live a good life. But it was like, it was not good enough for them. And some people are like that. Some people spend more time complaining than thanking God. And that's a problem. That is a really them being far from God in their own personal relationship. Because when you are grateful to God, you don't complain for what you have. You thank God for what you have. When you're in a relationship with him. But when you're anything, you're not in a relationship with him, all you do is complain. And the Israelites, this is what they did. But God was not pleased with them. Because it displeases God when people complain. Totally displeaces his heart. It breaks his heart. And we as children of God, we need to be careful we're not breaking God's heart every day complaining. My brother and sister. Because we can break God's heart. Because the Bible says, hurt him in his heart. The people in the back in the times of Noah, all the wickedness and evil and all the stuff they were doing, it hurt God in his heart that he had made man. So, see, it hurt God. It hurt. And then we read it later on again. My brother and sister, it hurt God's heart. When we are complaining, when we are murmuring, we're hurting God. Because that's not what he wants to see from us. My brother and sister, a murmuring and complaint is not going to take us anywhere anyway. Verse 8, even the priest did not say the Lord. The priest, the one that's supposed to be an example. And those who dealt with the law given to Moses did not know me. Oh, my Lord. And the rulers and the shepherd also transgressed against me. Oh, Lord. And the prophet prophesied by authority in the name of El. And work out the idolatrous things and did not benefit them. Oh, my Lord, my God. These people had a big problem in their lives. But they were still going around calling themselves God's people, Christians. Because when you call yourself Christians, you're calling yourself God's people.
Because when you say you're a Christian, you're Christ-like. And these people were going around calling themselves the people of God, the sons of God, the sons of Abraham, as they said to Jesus in John 8. And Jesus turned around and told them, you are your father, the devil. Because everything they were doing was even wickedness. And if they really walk in relationship with God, if they really love God, they will love Jesus. But they hated him. They wanted to kill him. And they ended up crucifying him. See what I'm saying? When you continue to walk in hatred toward people, you're going to end up killing someone. That's how people end up killing other people. You know, like people say, I don't own a gun. Myself, I don't own a gun, and I don't think of owning a gun ever. I could get a gun like anybody else, but I say no. Because I know in the moment you have it, you will think of way of using it. And you will end up using it. And you will end up shooting someone. And you will say self-defense, but you will kill people. And I know there will be people that disagree with me. But how many people, when I was in prisons, I went to prisons for many years as a volunteer to share the word. And how many people are locked up who had a gun, who never thought of killing anyone? But in the time of rage and the time of testing that came over the life that comes over every single human being, they got angry. Someone provoked them. And they shot them, self-defense, our people say, and they ended up killing the other person. And when they got taken to court, now they're doing 20, 30 years or more. My brothers and sisters, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And we need to know ourselves what we're capable of doing. And every single human being is capable of killing another human being. That's why you got to stay away from the step of being able to. Like when you get stopped by the police suspecting you have a weapon and they say to you, ma'am or sir, do you have a weapon in your car? And even if you have a little knife, they consider that a weapon. My brother and sister, I don't carry knife neither. My brother and sister. And the fact of the matter is, I had a friend who had an argument with another guy. And when I went to see him, I saw a friend being taken in the ambulance, I remember, because he had stabbed him in the belly, in the chest, near the belly and chest. And this guy was fighting for his life in the hospital. My friend, in an argument with him, put a knife through his belly. My brother insisted. Shalom, Brother Miguel. So I seen so many situations growing up in New Jersey. Walking around New York, living 17 years in Massachusetts, I tell you, I've seen so many situations where people, friend of mine, have killed other people in different way. And if you can avoid having a weapon, avoid it. Okay? Now, there are people that have self-control. They will never shoot anyone. There are the people that don't have it. There are people that lose it. They lose control. They get angry and lose control. And so they will end up, Shalom, sister, Regina, they will end up shooting somebody. So in every case, you can avoid it. Now, here's the children of Israel here in Jeremiah 2. We went back from Sunday to study back Jeremiah chapter 2, and I began from the beginning again because there's thing here I wanted to show you, the condition of these people that the people in Jeremiah time had that today we have around this earth, around our nation. Too many people backsliding. But there's one thing we say here in Jeremiah that we just read, and it's that the gays and lesbian are finding fault in God. Not so much in the church and the people. To them, the church and the people, they feel like they've been stepping over the church and the people already. Now they look into God and they're finding fault in God. Things that they can blame God for. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Let me read it for you back, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go back with me a little bit back, hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 2:4, Okay, and I'm going to read it from the beginning. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and family of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what injustice, O unrighteousness, did your father find in me? My brother insisted. Okay, why did these people feel that a lot of people today feel that everything that is happening in the world is God's fault? That, you hear that a lot. My brother insisted. But there were two things that were pointing to God, these people. One is that God was being unjust and that God is unrighteous too. Two things. The second one, unrighteous, I don't know what foundation do they find. One is maybe because they say, oh, why so pastor? Some pastors have been fine abusing children in the temple. And they're still preaching in the pulpit. Or things like that. And so they find that unrighteousness on the pastor, so they say that comes from God right away, their father, an example. So they're blaming God for the mistake of men, of human, my brother and sister. And that injustice is, that they're finding is, that they believe that some boys should be girls, and some girls should be boys, and Biden was even paying for the surgery operation. And so they say that it is so unjust for the church, for the people, to forbid these men who want to be women and these women who want to be men, because that should be their choice. And they have doctors looking into their gene and trying to argue that these men that are changing to women and these women that are changing to men, somehow in the DNA, they already had this. And I heard some of them trying to make the argument. So right there, they feel like God is so unjust, my brother and sister. But I say this, as God says in Genesis chapter 6, it hurt in his heart that he had made man in Genesis. That was one of the first times. It hurt in the Lord's heart that he had made man, my brother and sister, because the way men were going, he knew that he had by no choice but to destroy them, to bring them down to hell. He knew this. God knew that the choice these people were making, they were going to end up in hell. And he will have to throw them down to hell, my brother and sister, for the choices that they were making. Okay? We make the point here as we go down here in Jeremiah chapter 2, my brother and sister, that follow, that they have wandered far from me. This is a spiritual falling that was in these people, that is today in the people. People backsliding, lukewarm, consecrating themselves to God, not seeking God daily, not repenting daily. First of all, wander far from me, my brother and sister. The pride God looks from far, that means they're walking in pride. Out of their pride, they are saying God is unjust and unrighteous. Out of their own pride, my brother and sister. This is pride. Hallelujah. Okay? Walk in emptiness, God says, in futility, and they became empty. My Lord, my God. So they were saying they didn't need a God. Verse 6. They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us from the land of Egypt? None of them were being grateful for what God did for them. And none of them coming out of Egypt with most of these people. Thank God for anything he did for them neither. They were walking in their pride. Thought they deserve it all. But being far from God, they deserve nothing. That is the truth of it. My brothers, verse 7. I brought you into a plentiful land. Remember what he told Moses in Genesis, in Exodus 3? That he had chosen him to bring his people into a land that flowed with milk and honey. That was the plan of God for their lives. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat fruit and enjoy it, good things. But you became defiled. My land and you made my inheritance repulsive. Repulsive is when you reject something that you have to vomit. In reality, your stomach cannot take it. God could not take these people any longer. 40 years into the wilderness, they were not repenting. They were not changing their way. And that same spirit, that same generation today, is in America and around the world. And people think because Donald Trump is in office, he's going to change this nation and he's going to change the economy. And that is far from truth, my brother and sister. That is wrong. Thank you, sister. That is so wrong. Because Donald Trump is not going to change this America, the economy. He will bring changes. But in changing everything back, he will fall short. You need to have the expectation only, the true expectation from the Bible, that only Jesus Christ can change everything. That's why he's making a new heaven, a new earth for us. Because he is the only one that can bring a true peace, through abundance. If you think that this president, this nation, or whoever, wherever you are, it's going to be the wonderful place without the Lord, that is impossible. My brother and sister, that is impossible. Verse 8, the priests there say, where is the Lord? And those who deal with the land given to Moses did not know me, God saying about them. The rulers and the shepherds also transgress against me. The prophet prophesy in the name of Baal and walk after things that did not benefit them. These people were not right with God. Were not walking right. They were walking left since they left Egypt. The only place they were going when they left Egypt and the way they were going was to be thrown in the fire and the way in the lifestyle. This is why daily repenting, personal relationship with Jesus is a must, my brothers and sisters. Because if we allow pride to take over our heart and life and mind, we will be blinded. These people were far from God and still call themselves the people of God. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 9, therefore I will still contend, struggle with you by bringing judgment on you, say the Lord. I will contend with your children. See, God's mercy is still to try to save their children, my brother and sister, because he knew their parents were not listening, were not repent, were not turn upon their wicked way. And so God, you know, that's what I learned this past few days when God says the children of Israel. Because what God did is, if the parent refused to repent and see God, so God was always talking about the children. And every generation, when God will raise a prophet or a king of his, he will say, I will speak to the children of Israel. He will say to the prophet. And you mean like the people in the 80s, the 90s, but God said, speak to the children. Because he was actually speaking to the next generation to follow that was growing up, that was 12, 13, 14, 15, that they can still listen. They can still choose their way. My brother, because he knew the elder people were not going to change. Nope. Some people are in their 50s and their 60s now, and you try to bring the gospel to them. No, keep that away from me if they're not Christian. If they have chosen to believe in evolution and you bring the Bible, they want to prove to you that the Bible doesn't exist, that the Bible, and they go on with the lies that's fed on their ways. And that is so sad, because I saw a woman who went down to hell who did not believe in hell. When the Lord took me on one occasion, I was standing there, and I don't know why the Lord had me wait there in one of the entrances of hell. And it was because a woman was dying on the earth, coming into hell for the first time. And this woman did not believe that hell was real. She has been taught on the earth that hell was not a place. Okay? And when she went down to hell, for first time she opened her eyes there, she looked around and said, is this hell? For the first time, the reality came to her. The Lord wanted me to see her in her surprise. The hell is real, as heaven is real, my brother and sister. At that very moment, she realized she had been deceived most of her life, but it's too late, my brother and sister, because these people will fight for what they think is truth, and then later on find out by themselves when it's too late, the hell is real. See the demons, see the fire, see everything. My Lord, my God, help us. Help us. Hallelujah. Verse 10. For cross over to the coast of Kittim, to to the west and see, send also Kedar to the east and careful observe, consider, and see whether there has been such a thing. Has a nation ever been changed? God's, look at the question God is asking them. You got to take a second or two here, meditate on what God is saying to them. Look about other nations around you. How they changed, have they ever changed their God? Have you seen such a thing? Okay, he said, carefully observe and consider and see whether how this has been a such a thing of this, that nation, Shalom Sister Wendy, ever, says the Modified Bible, changed God. None of the nation. You can go to the Middle East today. Today. You can go to Iran right now. You can take a flight to Iran right now, to Syria right now, and ask them if they have ever changed their gods. There's over 2,000 gods among those nations. Pakistan. You can go to India, Pakistan, and ask them, have they ever changed their belief in other God? And they will say no to you. They will say no to your face. And God is asking his people, the Israelite, the same question. Because they did change God. They did sacrifice the children to Baal. They worship Baal. They worship other God and not the truth God. Knowing about the truth God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they still went and did that. My brother and sister, what an abomination. God help us. God help us, because sadly this is happening in the last days. It's happening. People are changing religion. They're changing belief, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And people are being misled. When you have a wicked person, as you had the woman in purple in a church the other day in Pennsylvania, preaching from the pulpit, and people sitting there listening, my brother and sister, my Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Now, I heard a woman today earlier saying that the woman was dressed in scarlet color. And that's not what the Bible says, my brother and sister. And I'm going to go there quickly. Hallelujah. Revelation 17. Hallelujah. The beast is the one in scarlet. Hallelujah. But woman is in purple. Okay? And when the Bible says woman, that's the gender of woman, not a man. So when the Bible says woman riding the beast, he didn't mean to say a man riding the beast. Please understand, because this is another confusion that's been around for years on the internet, that when God said a woman, he meant it to be a man riding the beast. And that is not right. That is not correct. God in his word, it's always been specific to gender. A woman is a woman to God, and a man is a man. Okay? Very specific in his word, my brother and sister. So please be clear about that. According to the word, I'm going to read to you what the woman is dressed on. She's not dressed in red. She is dressed in purple. The one in red is the beast. Okay? One of the Revelation 71, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowl came and spoke with me, saying, come here and I will show you the judgment, the doom of the great prostitute who seated in many waters that influenced the nation. Remember when I said to you, I'm not sure, according to the word, that she will be president. Okay? Okay? She influenced the nation, according to the Amplified Bible. But not necessarily that means that she's president. She is a type of leader, a commander-in-chief. My brother and sister, verse 2. She whom the king of the earth had committed the act of immortality, and the heaven of the earth had become intoxicated with the one of her immortality. The angel carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was entirely covered with blasphemous name, having seven head and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple, says the Amplified Bible. Okay? That's verse 4. Now, let me compare it to the King James now. Thank you, Lord. The King James 17:4, the woman was arranged in purple and scarlet color, bedecked the gold of precious stone and pearl, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of a fornication. Now, it could be determined, according to the King James, that she had two colors on it. But when you read about the beast, the scarlet beast, which is red, a maroon red, to be understand that, you know, the purple is the beast. The purple is the woman, I'm sorry. The scarlet red is the beast. She's riding on it. And then the woman was arranged in purple, okay, and scarlet color, bedecked with gold and precious stone. I mean, arranged. I believe that's what the word be, bedecked. Arranged. That means that the purple of her dress could have some red in it. The purple dress had red arrangement in it, is what that lead to understand. With gold, precious stone, pearl, having a golden cup in her, and her full abomination, filthiness of her fornication. Amen. And upon her head was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother harlot, the abomination of the earth. The mother of a great harlot, an abomination of the earth, a nation will have male and female for sure. But the one riding on the beast is a woman, my brothers and sisters. But the nation, Mystery Babylon, which she represents, can have male and female under the nation. But the one riding on the beast is the woman. Okay, and I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyr of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wonder what great amazement. Okay, all this is tied into what we're talking about tonight, my brother and sister. Because the people that have forsaken God, they go on like Cain, who went in to build a city and had his own, found his own wife, had their own children, and went and made weapons of war, my brother and sister, which was the first weapon. Who were they planning to fight? I said in another Bible study. Who did Cain and his people, making all kinds of weapons, were planning to fight? Okay? Who did they were planning to fight? Okay, and that is the question today. Why is the wicked so armed, so prepared to fight? Who? Because the righteous usually don't have weapons. Our weapon is the Lord. So they're getting ready to fight the Lord, our Messiah, my brothers and sisters. That's what the been for, about the devil from the beginning. They're getting ready to fight God. And this is why God said to the prophet Jeremiah that these people were questioning the justice and the righteousness of God. Verse 12. Jeremiah 2:12, he are pale of heaven of this, be shackled, shattered with horror, the behavior of the people, saith the Lord. So there are things here that will come about or that will come to them for forsaking God and living and walking in their pride. There's a consequence. They'll be shackled and trotted with horror. Those are the beasts. My brothers, hallelujah, that these people down here are going to encounter during the 3 days of darkness, during the Great Tribulation. They're going to see that God's word is real. I read this from another prophet that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, and now in the book of, we see it also here confirmed in the book of Jeremiah. I believe it's in the book of Joel that we were doing another study. Now here in the book of Jeremiah, confirming exactly that there will be horror that these people are going to encounter, because there will be people turning into beasts, werewolf and beasts. And they will see, these people staying behind in the Great Tribulation will encounter this horror. Be a pale, O heaven, of this, be shocked with a shudder, with horror. The people of the people, say the Lord. This is coming. All these things are coming, my brothers and sisters, and they will not delay. Now, verse 13. For my people have committed two evil, and this is what we share on Sunday. They have abandoned, rejected me, the fountain of living water. They have carved out their own serpent, Okay, broken curtain. They cannot that they cannot hold water. Okay, and this curtain is their own economy, their own Bitcoin that they're trusting in. Okay, this is what Bitcoin is: a curtain that the world putting their money into, that they feel is so secure. A lot of people, Bitcoin hit $80,000 this week. A lot of people have a lot of hope and are invested in Bitcoin. But I'm going to tell you that trusting in Bitcoin, as these people did, is trusting in broken certain, God says. Broken certain. Okay? They have carved their own certain Bitcoin and broken certain that cannot hold water. Bitcoin is not going to hold water because Bitcoin was established by the Antichrist himself. He is the one that put the trillions of dollars behind Bitcoin when he was in office. And then Bitcoin appeared by this Japanese that they chose who started Bitcoin, who made the code for Bitcoin. A Japanese, you can look it up online, who put all their money, Japan back then, when the beast was in office, put all the economy and the money at the feet of the beast. There's a video online he visited in Japan, and they came to see him at the airport, and they knelt down to him, and they were putting everything on his feet. And they were saying that whatever he wanted, they will give him. Okay? Then came out Bitcoin. Okay, he made sure he went to get the man who had the code to start Bitcoin from Japan, the Japanese professor. I don't remember his name. And from there, Bitcoin started, but the beast found it, put all trillions of dollars at the feet of Bitcoin to start Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is big all over the world now. But God said that it cannot hold water. That's all I can see in the word. Bitcoin will not hold water. Right where everyone put their money in there, trusting Bitcoin, the beast is going to pull all that money out and leave everyone broke. Okay? There was a time that Bitcoin went into the 20 and 30 and 40, and they brought it down to $4,000 or even less. He will put the money out. Whenever Bitcoin goes up to the where people get so happy and celebrating and trusting and that this is going to go for long, the business is going to pull it, pull the money out, broken certain, and keep them and put in water into a broken certain is what they're going to do. Putting their money into a broken certain, my brother and sister. Seek the Lord and ask the Lord to lead you. Because you can avoid so much pain by just trusting the Lord. There's great blessing in trusting the Lord, my brother and sister. Listening to the Lord says, remember. Verse 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a slave by birth? Why have he become captive and prey? Look at the question God is asking, my brother and sister. And the people that are trusting in Bitcoin and to the money of the Antichrist, God will ask them the same thing, that are trusting in the God of this nation. You need to be trusting in Jesus. You need to be trusting in the Lord, who will not fail you. Then whenever you fast and pray and you seek the Lord, join us in the 21-day fasting. Hallelujah. December 1st to the 21st, God will bless you. Jesus will come down and bless your life. Understand that whenever you trust in the Lord, with all your heart, you're putting your all your egg in the Lord. You're trusting in the Lord. And the Lord will never, hallelujah, leave you to shame, the Bible says. Anyone who trusts in the Lord will not be left to shame, Psalm says. Trust in the Lord, my brother and my sister. Amen. So again, Israel is a servant. Is he a slave by birth? Look at the question God is asking. Because if you're not choosing the Lord in these last days, you're putting yourself to being a slave. And God said, is he a slave by birth? Why has he become captive and prey? Because when you're trusting in the system of the Antichrist, Bitcoin and all that, what you're doing is you're becoming captive and you're becoming a prey to them.
And whenever they decide to pull the money that you're trusting in out and leave you broke, they're going to break your heart. They're going to break your economy. It's going to hurt you and your family. Please understand what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is asking these people. Verse 15, the young lion have roared of him. They have made their voice heard and roar loudly. They have made his land wasted. His city has been destroyed and burned ruined without inhabitants. This is the plan of the Antichrist. Even when he was in office, my brother and sister, his agenda is depopulation. We talked about this for years now here on the Lord Tower. Their agenda is depopulation. And God says that his city has been destroyed, are burned in ruin, and without inhabitants. That's confirming the plan of the Antichrist, of wicked, evil men. That's what they're going to do to people around the world, around this nation, around the world. My brothers and sisters, depopulation is their agenda. But the Lord can keep us from their evil. Remember a few weeks ago when the Lord allowed me, him having a conversation with his leader, they say, is the virus ready yet? And the scientist says, yes, it is, sir. Hallelujah. Is it ready for being released? Yes, it is, they answer him. And the Lord allowed me to be there to hear their conversation. They're going to release this virus on the earth. I said it very clear, it's airborne. The Lord revealed it to Brother Brandon 2 or 3 days ago. And what did he say? It's airborne, he saw it was. Airborne. And I told you on the Lord Tower, you can go back to the archives. I said this virus is airborne. Now other people of God are seeing the same thing. This coming up virus is airborne. Okay? My wife said she had a dream a few days ago where she said that the Lord was letting her know it will be also be in the water. Drink of water, the water that you purchase in the store. Be careful with buying water. I don't say not to buy water, but be very careful. You might be better just praying for your water before you drink it. Lay hand on the bottle of water and say, Lord, cover this water with your blood, and I rebuke and break in the name of the Lord anything that is not of you in Jesus' name. Please pray for your food. Pray for your water. My brother and sister, because she said it was very strong that God was letting her know. In the coming days, they're going to contaminate the water, especially the drinking water. It will have it. That's why so many people are going to be affected everywhere around the world. This thing will be in Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina, Chile, Mexico, Australia, Canada, all United States, Europe, Brazil. This thing will be everywhere quickly. And people will be like, wow, all over China, everywhere. How does this thing... That's how COVID did. This is going to spread like COVID, but it's deadlier than COVID. From this one, it's not going to be the dead numbers are going to go up so quickly. In a single city, it will be hundreds of times more than COVID in a single city. This is going to be dead everywhere. This thing, Brother Brandon saw it. He was crying like a baby. He could hardly even share what the Lord was. In one of his videos a few days ago, after, I think it was the day after the election, he was crying. He could hardly even speak after he saw this thing coming. He said, it's so close. The Lord showed to him, it's so close. But the thing with the Lord is that many are not ready. And when he means ready, it and deep, deep communion with him, where they only trust him not to run to the hospital, because this is what's going to happen with a lot of people who are not right with God. They're going to run to the doctor, and that's the worst decision anyone can make. Okay? My Lord, my God, this is what God says to me at one time a few weeks ago. Do not go to your doctor. Do not go to the hospital, he says to me, because they will vaccinate you, he says to me. He was so clear for me about that, my brother and sister, my stuff is making noise. So I am telling you, my brother and sister, this is very close. And I know that the Lord is allowing me to come up here on the air and share. Let me see if I can put a mute to that. Let me play an audio quickly. I want to mute that because that is annoying. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord.
What a God we serve. Thank you, Jesus.
My fellow Americans, basically, he says, I have an announcement to make. There's another virus. And he starts explaining to everybody that this virus is basically a new virus that is going to door COVID, that made COVID look like it was a wimpy virus compared to what this new virus is. Death ratio was skyrocketing even more higher than COVID did. This started in Europe, which was interesting, and he was making an announcement that we were going on lockdown again. Instantaneously, I felt like, oh no, this is what I see.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So you heard him right there in the intro of the audio. It's wow. And we need to continue to pray that the Lord will raise more prophet to confirm that this virus coming out that is so close now. Because my brother and sister, people need to understand you cannot run to the hospital when you see this happening. It's going to bring on our nation and the world tremendous fear. Like COVID did not do. Because this virus will drop people dead right to your side. Family, children, elder. And there was nothing you can do for them. By the time you're checking them and you're trying to call the ambulance, they're already dead. And that's why it was going to be shocking. Because it will kill people quickly, very quickly. But be not afraid if your children are safe, family, yours are safe. Thank God they'll be home with the Lord right away. Don't get under the spirit of fear. Don't be shaken by this violently, because this will shake people violently. It will. When I saw it the first time, I was shocked. I heard people screaming everywhere. Everywhere in this country, people are going to be screaming, calling the media, calling the governor, calling the leader, calling doctor, calling... And the mess they're going to have to declare martial law for sure. And they're going to block every state from people going in every state. This is going to be worse than COVID. Every state highway will be blocked by the Army, the Navy. And they're going to try to bring our country and every other country under control. Because presidents are going to communicate with president. They'll be letting know the president, they need to block all the highway, they need to block anyone from going anywhere so they can stop the spreading of the virus. It's how it's going to be. The people are going to go under great panic. And special masks will be required, which there's not a lot of them. Okay, there's not a lot of them. They're very difficult to make. And they're very, very expensive. I saw a mask, I think it was $2,000-$3,000 mask that could protect you from it. And then they're very difficult to wear. They're airtight, hard to breathe on these masks. I mean, my Lord, my God. So what do we do? Trust the Lord and pray. Cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Take a hedge of protection and a wall of fire over your life. Ask the Lord to protect us. Psalm 91, read it, memorize it. Pray it, okay? Pray it. Just pray it over yourself, over your family. And try not to go out in the first few days you see it until they're going to go ahead and block everything. One thing he saw, people going to the supermarket and buying toilet paper, because they did that also in COVID. It's better to have all those emergency now before that other emergency comes. Like, have plenty of toilet paper, okay? And the food that you're going to need. You won't be able to go to the supermarket to get anything. Okay? And so once it begins, that's it. It will take its course. It will go around the world. It will kill millions. I don't know if to say billions. I believe it will be into the billions. But I could be wrong. That's why I don't want to give out a number. But it's going to be in the high number. They might even hide if it takes 3 or 4 billion people out quickly, they might hide their number. But this is what the Lord showed me that I didn't share on Sunday. And it's that after this virus, especially here, houses that are $5 million are going to be $5,000 around. I saw houses that were $300,000 and $400,000, okay, that were $400,000 and $400. That's cheap, okay? Because after the virus, there's going to be a time when they're going to try to bring to normal, because they try to do that after COVID. The Lord has shown to me that after the virus, very close to that will be the revival. Whoever he leaves alive is because he wants to save. And in other words, what I understand, yes, Lord, confirm. Okay? Whoever he leaves alive is because he wants to save. Okay? So shortly after it will be the revival. The virus is like a cleansing, deep cleansing, my brothers and sisters. That's why it was debatable to me, which will be first 3 days of darkness of the virus. It seems to me the virus is first and then 3 days of darkness. But I could be wrong again. God had not told me this. This is my own opinion, thinking of how the Lord showed it to me. He did not tell me which one will be first. The Lord never said that to me. He just told me the sequence of how things are going to come about. And I've been thinking about how he's been showing them to me, how things looks. I just know that these things are close. So I know. One of my last revelations about the virus was, last I saw was in winter. The virus was released in winter. We know that COVID was released in winter also, here in the United States. People experienced the greatest damage in the winter during COVID, the first time. They said that, I remember the doctor online saying that it will be worse in summer, but I saw the number in winter was worse. Okay? And so, again, this virus is going to, I saw it starting in the winter. And I don't know if it's this winter. I just don't know the timing, because I don't know how much more time we have left. I don't know if it's this winter. But it seems to me that when I saw it here in the United States already killing people, and I looked, I had a cold on me. When I was walking, I had a cold, a winter cold on me. It was very cold. So that made me realize, hey, wait a minute, this is in winter. I remember going to the supermarket where they required me that special mask, that we just had that little white mask, doctor mask, a nurse mask. And this one was very special, that $800 mask or more that I didn't have, but they require people to have that. And I said, sir, if you don't have that, you cannot enter the supermarket, it was saying. So you can imagine, my brother and sister, the cleansing that is coming. But in this revelation, in this part of the revelation, they were auctioning the houses. They had done this in the past, in the 90s they did it. I remember across America, they auctioned banks. People that buy houses from the bank, they auction them out. Banks auction them out. They usually do that. But this time, city people who we would call a city authority, I don't know how they became the city authority because so many people died, but they were auctioning the houses, $200 or $300 for big houses, really nice houses, big houses. And I was so surprised. You know, I had some cash on me, and I was buying some of these houses. Very cheap. But they were big, very big houses. So the Lord was letting me know that this time of these auctioning these houses and all that is practically here. So if it's practically here, my Lord, my God, help us, because everything is so close. I mean, in the spirit, when I had this experience, what I felt in my spirit, and I have said this when I came back here in the Lord's Tower, that I felt it was very close in the spirit. Okay? It doesn't mean that I know the time and the season or the timing. I don't know the timing. The season, we know we're in the season, but we don't know the timing. You know, and so I know it's very close. Brother Brandon said the same. Sister Barbara, I was looking out for one of her videos because she said a few weeks ago she had a video about 3 days of darkness. I put up her video about the beast here that I have in the intro of the audio. But the one that I really wanted was a 3 days of darkness, the Lord giving to her. That she said 3 days of darkness will be on the earth. Because I believe that confirmed the signs. One is the virus, one is 3 days of darkness, one is the tsunami. These three judgments are so close that I don't know which of the three is going to be, it's going to be first. I just know they're very close. And then the Lord keep confirming the tsunami, keep confirming the 3 days of darkness, keep confirming the virus now, more about the virus coming out. And we pray that the Lord will give more revelation on the virus to people. Because I believe not everyone listens to the Lord Yahweh, but if there are more people who listen to different pages, Westside churches, mega churches, they can, the word can be put out there for people to prepare. Because I believe COVID cut a lot of people unprepared. And that's what the Lord was letting me know back in 2019. In the beginning of 2019, that a lot of people with the virus will be cut unprepared. And that's exactly what happened. That's why many took the vaccine later on in 2020. Because they were cut unprepared. This virus, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Well, spring, winter, spring. Depends where you are, too. So the thing with that is, my brother and sister, is being prepared, okay? Being prepared. It's if you're prepared for what is coming, you won't be caught by surprise. Like the Lord said, watch and pray, because you don't know what time the thief will come. Okay? There's a lot of information we don't know about it. I just know that within, I think it was 3 months, in my understanding, things was going back kind of to normal. But everything was not the same anymore. The fear of the people being left, the greatest fear you ever saw. Now it's like, wow, very few people left, though, very few. Oh, my Lord, very few. And so it is that we, the bride, are supposed to make it through. The Christian, the true Christian, is supposed to make it. It doesn't mean that those that go home are not, because here's the other part of this. A lot of Christians are going home with the virus, even with the tsunami, I believe. I believe that. The Lord had not told me that, but I believe that. Because I heard of some people, the Lord had not told them to move, like out of California, out of Florida, that people should already be move more north. They have not heard from the Lord to move. So if they're killed by the tsunami, they go home to heaven. They're safe already. President Watson, you'll be with the Lord. You know, if your body gets killed, you'll be with the Lord. That's what we need to understand with all this, that a lot of people are going to be killed. And they're going to be go home with the tsunami. A lot will go home with the virus, my brothers and sisters. And that alone, I think that's the mercy of the Lord. Because the Lord, when he spoke to me about 3 days of darkness, he says that many are not ready to make it right. Share that here on the Lord's house. Some of you were here listening to me about this. That the Lord was standing in front of me and said that Father God's bringing this cleansing on the earth, the 3 days of darkness. And many will not make it. He allowed me to go around the earth and see how many will make it. So, you know, these are cleansing coming to the earth. Okay, now, when we're reading Jeremiah here, that's why I went back to Jeremiah, because there was something there also that confirmed this, that I'm speaking tonight, right there in Jeremiah, my brother and sister. I'm going to keep reading. Hallelujah. One is verse 15, he says, the city has been destroyed and burned ruins without inhabitants. And this is what, after the virus, I saw this. Their plan is to leave the city without inhabitants, without people. Without people. That's their plan. And I read that there. Let me keep reading. Moreover, the men of Memphis and the Tharsis powerful enemy, has shown crown on your head to degrade you. And I believe that's when they put the crown on Jesus, to turn a crown into the grave, mocking. It's a mocking, okay? Verse 17, have you not brought this on yourself, abandoning, rejecting the Lord your God? Hallelujah, when he led you in the way. You see, God led them in the wilderness through Moses, through Aaron, his people, his prophet, his servant. But these people still rejected God. But God never left them or forsaken them. Verse 18, now, what are you doing by going to Egypt in search of Allah to drink muddy water of the Nile? Or what are you doing by going to Assyria in search of Nali to drink muddy water on the Euphrates? And this is exactly what people do. When you join your enemy, supposedly as an ally, that, you know, they're not really there for you. And we got to meditate on what God is saying here to these people, because he's speaking the same to us. Verse 19, your own wickedness will discipline you. Your deception of the faith will punish you. Now, therefore, it is an evil, a bitter thing, for you abandon, reject the Lord your God, for you to be indifferent to me and dismiss reverence, fear of me, say the Lord your God. Angel, Lord, help us, Jesus. And we can fall in the same. And that's another thing with the vaccine. They're going to come out with another vaccine for the new virus. I have no idea yet what that other vaccine is going to do. But it's the first vaccine of wicked and evil. You can imagine the last one. I heard them saying that they already had the vaccine ready, I believe it was. Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong. But it's what I remember I heard, that the vaccine was also ready. And the revelation, I heard them saying that, because someone was asking, I do remember this. Someone was asking when the new virus was released, if the vaccine that they already had out for COVID will protect them. And they were saying, no, you got to get the new vaccine. But the new vaccine was not released yet. That's what I remember. Okay? So that's really, wow. Verse 20. For long ago, you broke in your yoke, delivering disobedience, tore off your bond of the law that I gave you. You say, I will never deserve to obey you. For on every high hill and under every green tree, you have laid down idolatrous worship like complaining prostitute. Wow, Israel, my brother and sister, these people that came out of Egypt with Moses were really disobedient. It's an example to you and I. How God promised them that he would deliver them, and he did. And then they see themselves in the wilderness where they should have given all the heart to God. They never did. They never did, my brothers and sisters. Wow, verse 21. Yet I have planted your house of Israel, a choice vine, completely faithful to see. How then have you turned against me into the generate two foreign wild vine alien to me? Oh, my Lord, my God. They were making choices totally unpleasing to the Lord, rejecting the Lord. How have you turned against me? God is saying to them. Because when you turn against righteousness, holiness, you're turning against God. The very God that Jesus said, I have given your name to them. And he didn't say Yahweh or Elohim or nothing like that. Okay? He used the word holy or righteous, which all represents God. That's what represents God, holy and righteousness, pure. My brother and sister, it's how he revealed his name to us, through his own action, loving, kindness. Those reveal the name of God, loving and kindness. My brother and sister, verse 22. For though you will wash yourself with lye, and use so much soap, the stain that your guilt is still before me, and saith the Lord, the stain of the guilt was still before the Lord. when you have so much guilt like these people had against God, and the statement still got it because they're not repenting. Because when you repent, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. You ask the Lord, watch all my bookkeeping record in heaven from past, present, and future. But at the same time, when you repent, the guilt and the ghost, the Lord takes it. He comes for us. And this was not happening with them. They carried the guilt with them. My Lord, my God. Verse 23. How can you say I am not defiled? I have not gone after a man-made God like Baal. Look at your ways in the valleys. No, that without any doubt that what you have done, you are sweet and restless young female came in the heat of her passion, ruining here and there. They were after their own flesh, in another word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't remember that moment, Dad, brother. I don't remember that right now. So these people were going after their own flesh. Verse 24. Have you obtained and reckless nature of wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness? The sniff of the wind of her passion for the scent of mate, her mating season that came restrain her, I'm sorry. No male seeking her need to worry themselves. In her months, they will find her looking for them. And that's, they were just after their own passion. Because how God is comparing them to a female who's looking for a man. It was mostly about what they want, about the flesh, the desire of the flesh, which is so wicked. And we need to be very careful with the desire of the flesh, my brother and sister. Verse 25, cease your mouth running after idols. Keep your feet from becoming bare and your throat from becoming dry. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. But you said it's helpless. For I love stranger and foreign God and walk after them. And that's what America and these people are saying to God. The same behavior, the same disobedience are people looking after other gods, my brother and sister. We need to be very careful because anyone can fall into this. My brother and sister, when you look after your own desire, what you want, not necessarily what the Lord wants. Because when you want what the Lord wants, you seek the will of God. But when you're seeking your own will, that's where the danger comes. And that's what makes me nervous, that we need to make sure we're seeking the will of God and not our own. Because you can fall into the lies. You can fall into idol worshiping even. And these people did fall into idol worshiping, walking after foreign God. God said, okay, he said, love stranger and foreign God. They were loving stranger. So a lot of people today love with the devil and his ways. Super dangerous today. And if you don't understand what I'm saying when I say that, please pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Because he showed me Satan walking in the spirit. I saw one time here in a major city. And he was saying to himself what he had done. He has a lot of love with a lot of people in office, a lot of high people in love with the devil today in his ways. That is extremely dangerous because they're willing to sacrifice their children. That's how bad it is. And some have done it in secret. They will not tell you and I, but they do it in secret. But then God reveals it through his servant, the prophet. And these people get angry and mad, my brothers and sisters. He took me inside one of the high office here, and I saw the woman in purple and other than drinking the blood of innocent children in a golden cup. There she was. And then they want to step on the pulpit after what they do in secret. And preach the word, the holy word of God. It's an abomination. They're mocking God. It's what they're doing, my brother and sister. But this happens all the time now. These people have reached this level, are totally going after other gods, my brother and sister. You saw in the inauguration of Biden's, they were praying to another God, supposedly called the God of America. Not Jehovah God, not the Lord Jesus Christ, other God. Abomination. It's an abomination what these people are doing. Verse 26. It says a thief is shamed when he is caught. So the house of Israel is shamed. Their kings, their leaders, their priests, their prophet. Shame, 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 shame. Nation that follows after other God is shame. People that follow after other God is shame. These people are shame to God, shame to God's people. That's why you don't justify their ways at all. You don't agree with their wicked way at all. You have to say no. You don't support and you don't vote for them either. They stand for abortion. They stand for gays and lesbians. How can you stand for that? No. I cannot even imagine the face of these that voted for that woman, those people, and that white throne judgment with the Lord, with Father God. What excuse are they going to give God that they voted for abortion, homosexuality, that these people stand for? What are they going to tell God on that great day of judgment? What are they going to say to God, my brothers and sisters? What excuse are they going to make up for what they've been doing? My Lord, my God. Verse 27. Who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone you gave me birth? For they have turned their back to me, and not their faces, but in the time of the trouble they will say, arise, O Lord, and save us. Oh, my Lord. You see, in times of trouble, they're Christian. Oh, they're Christian, great this, great that. When another occasion, they were praying to other God, offering the children, doing this and that. But when they know God is, because they know. Remember what the Lord showed me a few days ago? The people running out of the UN building? They knew the tsunami was coming. Other people were still in the building, doing this, doing that, all occupied. These wicked ones, they knew they ran out of the building first. He said, how do they know? Well, they know. They know. My brothers and sisters. Verse 28. But where are your gods, which you made for yourself? Let them go up if they can save you in the time of trouble. For as many as the number of the city, are your God, O Judah, why do you, your many men idle, run to help you? Oh, my Lord. See? They're going to trust in vain. They're going to trust in other gods. But they know in times of trouble, and oh, God, save us. So we're going to say, sudden destruction comes up a woman in travail, God says. Sudden destruction is coming with judgment. And which they won't have time to say to God, save us. Not in the last days. They won't have time to say, save us. By the time they will want to open their mouth, they're out of the body dead. Their body's dead. Okay, gone. My brothers and sisters. I seen the destruction. I seen even people running to try to save their own life. I mean, we will hope that God will have mercy on those running from the water that might be repenting in the last second that God will save them. That will be, you know, great. My brothers and sisters. But there's more. I see more people in hell than I seen in heaven practically. I seen places in hell where people are standing, push against each other. There's so many millions of, I don't know if I have to say billions. I haven't seen that in heaven. I've been to several places in heaven. I've seen a lot of people in certain areas, but not like I saw in hell. Why there's so many people that go down to the pit, as the Bible says. My brother and sister. It's a lot of sin. It's a lot of disobedience. God help us. Verse 25, why do you complain and contend with me? You have all rebelled, transgressed against me, saith the Lord. All have fallen short out of the glory of God, God says in Romans. Here's a confirmation to that. We have all. But the problem here with these people is that they contend with the Lord. They tell God that they're fine. They're not fine. God is the one bringing out their sins, their idolatry, their evil, so they can repent. And that's when you bow your head and say, oh, Lord, yes, Lord. Help me to be holy and righteous, Jesus. And you pray and you repent of your sins and disobedience. Verse 30. In vain I have punished your people with the sequence of their disobedience. They receive no insight for correction and refuse to change. Your own sword has devoured your prophet like a destroying lion. In the time will come, and the Lord has shown this to me, that whoever is a true prophet of the Lord will make it through what is coming. Whoever is not, I didn't see many people making it through. I just didn't see it. For whatever reason, I'm not going to say they all went to hell neither. No, because then you will be judging people. We're not called to judge anyone. God have mercy on saving people. But when you don't see many people make it through, that's you're like, wow, how is that? Not many people made it through. Very few. That means there's not much repenting. There's not much confessing the sins of the Lord every day, really seeking from the Lord to cleanse them, to wash them, to keep them, to purify them. Very important that we do that every day, my brother and sister. Seek mercy from the Lord. Correction from him. He'll correct us and father the love of his children, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. My Lord. They receive no insight from correction. My Lord, my God. Verse 31. All generation, consider and regard carefully the word of the Lord. I have been in the wilderness to Israel like a lamb without food. I have been in the wilderness to Israel like a lamb without food. And you see how God referred to himself here as he's speaking through the prophet. And the reason is the testing and trial feel this way. You're going to feel this way when you go through testing and trial. You feel like, why I don't have this, all that? Why am I lacking this, all that? Because what happened? I remember the Lord showing me this. There is coming after this judgment a great lack of food and water. Mostly food, I would say, because that's what I experience the most. Because water you need every day. Food not every day, but water you do. And there was such a... I had to pray, the Lord had me pray, for him to make food appear in order for us to eat, because there was none in the days to come, my brother and sister. And I know there are people saying, Brother Elvie, those for those that are staying in the Great Tribulation, listen, this emergency that we went through here in North Carolina opened our eyes even more for what could happen and how things can be really quickly. Had a lot, thousands of family here without food and water quickly. And people had to get creative. Helicopter were bringing food for other state here for people to eat. That's how bad it got. And I'm telling you right now, where what the Lord is showing us is coming here and around the world. If the man who plants the food and grows it to bring it to the supermarket where you live for you to purchase the food, if he dies with the virus, who's going to grow the food? If the farmer dies, who's going to grow it? If the men and women that runs the plant to process the food died, who's going to process the food? There will be cows, all kinds of animals, horses with the flu dropping dead, my brother and sister. And the meat become useless right away. You will hear the government telling people, do not eat the meat of the cow. Do not eat the meat of the chicken, because they're going to start dropping dead, and you won't be able to eat them. They will be useless. They will recommend for you to burn it or bury it. That's it. Nothing more. The time that is coming is going to be so severe that we're going to be praying for mercy for ourselves more than anything else. I'm telling you right now, for our family more than anything else. This is why focusing on the Lord right now, getting ready for what is coming. I know some of us just wants to go home, wants a rapture to happen. Yes, it will. The rapture is very close also. But how is God going to bring people home who are not ready and say in regard to repentance, to righteousness and holiness? He needs to get our attention. He needs to, when the Lord spoke to me in Massachusetts, up north, remember, over what, how many, over 10 years ago or more, a lot more, that when he will bring, before we will go home in the rapture, he will bring a shaking on the nation that will bring people on their knees crying out to God. And that means that the leftover people, the disobedient, remember what God did to the elders in the wilderness? He opened, at one time, he opened the earth and swallowed them, thousands of them. Another time, the serpent bit them and they died. There were so many occasions where they were dying off, my brother insisted. That's how they were being eliminated, okay? I'm going to look that up, how many are they dying in the different occasions, or how many occasions did they die? Because even when God told Moses to raise the snake up in the air, that those that would look at it would survive. Up there where Moses was very hard to get to when the snake was biting people on the feet. So a lot of people were dropping dead and could not make it up there because of the serpent biting them. So the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions that died there, were not given a number specifically. But many, many, many die. In some occasions, you get a number. In some occasions, you don't get a number. But the math is that 6 million people left Egypt. And the most 350,000 people made it to the promised land. You're talking about with close to 6 million people, 5,750,000 people die in the wilderness. And the plague and the judgment they died with, we're not given the number of how many million, but over 5 million people die, my brother and sister. That's over 90%. But guess what? In this plague that is coming, that's about the number I saw people dying in that plague alone. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. You know, I have bought the wrong car. I have bought the wrong shoes, the wrong socks. I have made mistakes. We make mistakes, but I'm telling you now, about the same number is what I saw with the plague coming up. Because I don't know how many days or weeks or months is going to stick around and people drop dead right away. No one who gets taken to the hospital after they get the plague makes it alive. No one. Not a single person that I know and what I saw that people will call the ambulance dropping in their house with the virus, none will make it to the hospital alive. They will make it to the hospital to make it to the morgue. That will be it. And there will be so many people dead that they're not going to the morgue. The government's going to step in like it did in New York with COVID. And these bodies are going to be burned and buried. Immediately, they're going to be removed. And that's why they're going to block every state, every city. And people won't be able to go anywhere, and food is going to run out completely, God showed me. When God showed me that, he showed this to me in heaven, that everything had run out of food here completely. When I tell you completely, you cannot go buy a loaf of bread. And when I saw that, it really broke me, but I was in heaven, and God was ministering to me. That's when Father spoke to me, because to me, it was so shocking. I mean, I got children, you got to remember. I have a family. And if you don't have food to put on the table for your children, that's a father. That hurts a lot. And you're like, wow. You know, you grow up, you're thinking you want to be a good father like I grew up thinking. I wanted to be an example or take care of my children, take care of my family. Because my father died when I was very young. He went home to be with the Lord. And growing up without a father was very hard, but I wanted to be an example. And I tell you, my brother and sister, when Father showed me that coming up, of no food in this country, completely none. Not many places that grow food here. There's not many places. Because of the winter, it kills everything. So I'm telling you right now what is coming. It's going to change a lot of people dramatically. But we don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. God is with us. He promised he will not leave us. He promised he will not forsake us. He promised he will not abandon us. He's going to supply us by faith. Finally, the church is going to experience a miracle like in the church in the book of Acts. God is going to make, like he did with Jesus, food appear for everyone on the table. You are going to pray for food. And you're going to see the hand of God. Twice God showed me him making food appear supernaturally, or more than twice. He made food appear for us, the promise he made. He wants to do this through faith as he did through his son and to the disciple. Make food appear for us and we pray for it. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeded out of God's mouth. He's going to make his word come to pass before us 100%. Everyone will see it, my brother and sister. Of the few that will be left, though, those that will be walking by faith, will see the hand of the Lord, the miracle of the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses said to the people, come and see the hand of the Lord. But he was talking to 350,000 people because the other one all perished. Moses was so concerned with people perishing that Moses goes up to God and tells God. That's when he came down and broke the Ten Commandments. I believe it's Exodus 30. He was so concerned because so many people had already died. And Moses was even wanted to die. He wanted to die. Because God is, I understand as a man, you get concerned and worry about people. But Moses was seeing so many of them dropping dead with all the judgment, with the things that was going on, the plague, that he wanted to die too. He loved them. But they were very disobedient with the Lord. And God cannot tolerate them worshiping other gods, sacrificing the children to other gods, doing what they did, my brother and sister. So, yes, the revival is coming after that. But making it through will be the that's why focusing now on the Lord is what he wants from each and one of us. Because only the Lord can bring us through by faith. And we know that if we don't have no food, clothing, whatever, we will pray the Lord will make them appear supernaturally. And that's the time that God wants to bring upon our lives. That's the time God wants to see happen. And, you know, when God wants to do something, he's going to do it. And no one can change his mind about doing it. It's what he wants. The last rain. He's going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. But he's going to remove the wicked from the land. He's going to remove those he knows that they're not going to repent, that he dealt with for years. Listen, remove. As the Lord said, he's bringing a cleansing of 3 days of darkness. Cleanse like people cannot imagine. I mean, there are people now maybe listening that cannot imagine the cleansing that is coming. And that they may be worried for this or that. But the cleansing that is coming, it's going to be a total cleansing. Out of 6 million people, 5,750,000 people perish in the wilderness. That alone tells you that God means what he says. He's serious. He is serious. And when he has spoken to me of what is coming, he's very firm, very firm, very established on what he's saying is going to happen. He established everything by his word, and by his word he's going to end up things, everything. The end of all things, the Bible says, is at hand. And that's why he's going to fulfill his word. He says the end of all things is at hand. But they are in his hand. And he will be the one accomplishing these things, bringing them to pass 100%. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. I fear for myself. I fear. But he says that I need to be willing to die also. Elvi, you need to be willing to die. Amen. I pray I'll be willing to die. Because there's a lot of people that don't want to die. And that can lead people to take the vaccine or the mark of the beast if they're not willing to die. But I was very clear, fear not him that can kill your flesh, but him that can kill your soul in him. That's only God. We need to be fearing God alone and not man. Because if you're fearing man, that's not going to help you in any way. You got to fear God. So every day, every moment of your life, when you pray, when you get up in the morning, when you see God, you meditate on the will of God. You say, God, thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. As Jesus said, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're made of dust. We're earthly men. Let his will be done in our life too. And now my will, lead me, guide me, Lord. And all this movement, please help me pray. We're looking for a house. We need the guidance of the Lord to guide us in finding a place. We're going to look for a place up here in the higher part of the mountain. There are two houses available, my brother and sister. But things are not affordable yet here. Father, God can do anything. And we need to believe that. He'll supply our need according to the riches and glory. That don't matter that we may not have the finance, but the Lord will provide. He will open the door. We need to keep our faith, our life during this time. My brother, so please keep our family now in prayer. We're going to continue listening to the Lord, his guidance. He says great blessing and listening to him. So we'll stay with the Lord no matter what, my brother and sister. I prefer that the trumpet sound and we'll go home already. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord has spoken to us about things coming before the rapture. And they're coming in slowly. They're coming in slowly. But they will be happening, my brother and sister. We're going to see them. We're going to see and go through them. Because there's a cleansing and a purification that's going to happen in our life as we go through this. You see, Moses, Aaron, those that God brought through, Joshua, Caleb, who ended up in the promised land, they were being cleansed through what God was doing, even setting their own brothers and sisters as an example, who did not make it to. Everything is for our own learning. Everything the Bible says for our own example. So it's not for us to be afraid. Oh, you know, no. He never wants us to be afraid, concerned or worried. He wants us to be trusting him, that no matter what we see, he is with us, he is for us. He's going to help us make it through. Because he's our God. He called us. He chosen us before the foundation of this earth. Chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of this earth. To be in his servants, to be in his prophets, messenger, his people. So to him we are special. Or may you don't feel special. You may not be feeling special because of the trials and testing you're going through. But that's what makes you who you are in God. The testing and trial that you and I are going through indicate that you are a daughter, a son of God. Those are the signing signature that the test and trial of your faith, God is producing patience. It's producing something in you that you don't have. If he's bringing you to testing and trial now, he's producing something in your life that you don't have that is more valuable than gold. Okay? You may not see it like that. It may not feel like that, Paul says. But you'll see it later on. You'll come to it in your own relationship with the Lord, and you'll be praising him and thanking him for it. It's painful and difficult at the moment. It was painful and difficult to Job when he went through it. But at the end, what did he do? Ended up worshiping the Lord, recognizing that the Lord was right. That what Job did not understand in the beginning, at the end, he understood. He heard God before, but now his eyes could see him. That's a purification, sanctification of the Lord in our lives. Because he wants to reveal himself to us. We have to go through what Job went through. Not 100%, but kind of what he went through. Similar to Job. Difficult, no friends, abandoned even by your own family. Lonely. Job felt lonely. His own wife despised him, he says. I mean, but it was a process. It was a trial. It took years, maybe. Because sometimes you want things to end quickly. And some people say, it's been taking all my life, brother. Well, it's not going to take all your life. It's been taking time of your life. And if you're giving the Lord the first youth of your life, now you are not going to regret it later on when God gives you a husband or wife or the answer of your petition. Whatever you're giving God now of your time of your life, Bible says you, whatever you give in this season, you get 100% in this life and the life to come. So in the millennium, you'll be wealthy if you're giving to God now. And let's continue to support the poor in Israel. But I mean by time, prayer, spending time with God, you will be multiplying all that. You will be rewarded by him. But when you go to heaven and you sit in that wedding with Jesus in that table and you look at him in heaven, you know what you're going to say? It was all worth it. It was all worth it. When you're under the glory of God, when there's super joy and peace, and you know that you're going to be there forever with him, whatever you're going through right now, it will be like nothing to you. You won't even remember most of the stuff back here. You'll rejoice in your future. God is so loving and so caring. He will make sure no devil will steal what God has for you. My brother and sister, he had table prepared for us. I saw the tables. I saw Jesus beautifully. And I saw the table. And I saw most of you there that arrived at that wedding. You were in front of that table. You were picking from the table to eat. And you had a joy in your glorified body and a peace in you that you knew that what you went through was completely worth it. Once you get to heaven, you will know it's completely worth it. Once he begins to speak to you and reward you for what you've done and treat you like a king, like a queen, servant, you say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are my daughter. Yes, you are my son. Receive this from me. I saw Jesus kneeling to bend, to heal the wound of his people that are right to heaven. I was like, wow, we're not worthy. He was kneeling on one of his knees. Some of the brothers and sisters were wounded in some other area on the body. And he was taking care of them like a doctor, like someone who truly cared for them with love, patience. My brother and sister, everything you're going through, he will take care of you for that. Father, your Father in heaven is waiting for you. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord is not going to delay anything, like some people think. Oh, Trump wins now. We got 4 years. Listen, the Lord's not going to delay his wedding. He's about to come. Yes, we're going to see a few things happen. But they're going to happen quickly, though. A lot of the things we're going to experience in the moment, it may feel like 1,000 years. But once it's over, a few days after, and he brings his revival, his glory, my brother and sister, some of us after that will rapture home. We're going home. Some of us will stay for the rapture like me, for the revival. Rapture, and some are going home first through the judgment. But it don't matter. We'll still see each other in heaven. We'll still get there in the same place. We'll still meet with brothers and sisters, chosen by the Lord before this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's important. We stay in union and communion with him, no matter what happens around us, no matter who falls. Pray for mercy for your own soul, my brother and sister. And when you may see someone fall or fall away or die through the judgment, know that the person, if it's safe, is going to heaven. And just continue with your journey. It's a sure journey. This is going to be one of the shorter journey of your life before we get to go home to heaven. But one of the most trial journey. It can feel very difficult if you're not trusting in the Lord. But if your heart, if your life is trusting on the Lord completely, it will feel like a feather. He said, my joke is easy. My burden is light, Jesus said. It will be light to you if you're trusting in him. It will be easy for you if you're trusting in him. But if you're not, if it begins to feel the burden heavy, the yoke light, instead of being light, if it feels any other different, that's a sign that you're not trusting in him. Remember that. Why is this being so hard right now? It's because you're moving your eyes from him. Totally easy when you've got your eyes on him. Then everything is easy. We need to see ourselves when we're backsliding. Because Israel was backsliding. It didn't realize. Hallelujah. My Lord, my God. Jeremiah 2:32, can a virgin forget to wear her ornaments? Wear bright her attire? The identity of her married woman? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without numbers. You see, my brothers and sisters, to God, they forgotten him and their own walk with God. And it felt to God like days without number. My people have forgotten me. Days without numbers. Backsliding so many days. Verse 3, how will you prepare your path to seek an unstained, adulterate love? Even the most wicked of the women have learned in Dinson ways for you. In another word, they should have learned that that was not pleasing to the Lord in turn. Hallelujah. My Lord. My God. Verse 35. Yet you keep saying, I'm innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, I will bring you to judgment and I will plead my case against you. Because you say, I have no sin. And this is where it's so dangerous when we're not walking right with God and sin disobedient, that pride can take over and we can justify ourselves. And these people were saying they had no sin, my brothers and sisters. To God, their own creator, they were saying they had no sin. Verse 35. Why do you go around and wander so much, changing your ways? Also, you will be shamed by Egypt as you were shamed by Syria. Our only refuge, protection is the Lord, not any other nation. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Verse 37. From Egypt also you will come away as captive with your hands and your head. For the Lord has rejected those in whom you trust, confide. You will not be successful with them. And this is the key, my brother and sister. You can only be successful with the Lord, not with your enemy. Your enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy, the thief. And they come to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life. And have it abundantly. Hope it will bless us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord, you are going to do tonight, Lord. We thank you for every healing, Lord, for every visitation, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, we thank you, Lord, my goodness. We thank you, Shalom, Sister Oleski. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is so good. He is so awesome. He is so awesome. We serve such a wonderful, wonderful God. Let me tell you, last night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, praying with the Lord Jesus visited me this morning. Hallelujah. I was just reminding the Lord in prayer to please visit us tonight, to please heal the people tonight, to please come and heal the sick tonight. Praise Jesus. And Jesus visited me. My goodness. What a presence. What a glory. I was like, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. this service tonight must be so important to him. It must be so important. My goodness, what a visitation of the Lord. My goodness, I was in the presence, hallelujah, in that glory. My goodness, just praying and praying. My Lord, just asking him to please come tonight and heal the people, visit the people, do whatever the people need him to do. Praise the Lord. And he is faithful. I know he is faithful. I know he's coming tonight. I know he will minister. I know people will experience him in a higher level, in a mighty level tonight. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, I know, I believe Jesus. I believe God. I believe all things are possible with him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go into the word tonight. I'm just so excited. There's such an anointing of Jesus, such a presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, all day long in prayer with him. Hallelujah, and it's just been so awesome. I love it. I love it. He wants to heal his people. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to take away all infirmity out of the body. Hallelujah. He wants his people to know that there is a mighty Savior in heaven interceding for them. He lived to intercede for you. He chose to intercede for you. And he's going to do what you ask him to do, what you believe him to do, Jesus is going to do for you because he's our Savior. He's our God. Thank you, Jesus. And he's going to do mighty things tonight in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for Sister Amy to call in. Hallelujah. Then Pastor James will call in later on. Praise the Lord. And they're going to join me in prayer. It's going to be so mighty what God is going to do. I'm going to go into the word. Shalom there, Sister Amy. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord reminded you, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been getting so many emails for prayer. For prayer. Praise the Lord. And in the direction of the Lord of this healing service tonight, praise the Lord. The Lord directed me to have everyone fast all day long tonight. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I hope everyone who is expecting Jesus to do a miracle in their life. They've been fasting all day long. It's what the Lord asked me. He wanted his people to do, and I gave them the message. I hope everyone has listened to the Lord. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, because God is faithful, and he can do anything. Praise the Lord. I got people writing to me. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He is so awesome. Praise the Lord. His anointing, his presence is going to be felt tonight. Because he is going to minister to his people in such a mighty way. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please, please confirm the word, Holy Spirit, tonight. Let the presence of Jesus be felt mightily, Holy Spirit, my friend, in Jesus' name, Ruach HaKodesh, I ask you to come. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and touch everyone listening. Touch the heart, touch the spirit, touch the body, touch the soul, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, Lord, we cover everyone listening with the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all transgression, from all sin, in Jesus' name, their home, their family. Lord, everywhere they are right now, Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to cover them with your blood, Lord Jesus, prepare them, Lord, to receive a miracle from you, Lord, a visitation, in Jesus' name, mighty Yeshua, mighty Yahashua, in your name we pray, Lord, in your name. In your name, as the brothers and sisters are logging in, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you cover them with the blood, Lord, I ask you to send minister angel, Lord, to put our oil from heaven in Jesus' name upon their life, upon their home, Lord, upon this program, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jesus. We pray for anointing oil from heaven, olive oil from heaven, to be put out on my brothers and sisters, life in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. Yes, yes, I feel the oil already being put out by the angel. Lord Jesus, send more angels. Send, hallelujah, millions and millions of angels with olive oil from heaven to be put out upon your people in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. Prepare the life, Lord. Prepare them, Lord, to receive miracle, to receive a visitation from you, Lord. Prepare the heart to receive the word, to receive your word by faith, to believe your word by faith. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want to believe you through your word, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for people to lock in. I know there's more people, hallelujah, that said that we're going to be here tonight. I know many are working, so I'm just waiting, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Many are logging in through the cell phone. We have close to 20 people through the cell phone already logged in. They are not in the chat room. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Thank you, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus. People from Germany, we're waiting for them to log in Jesus' name. Europe, France, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many countries in the European nations, hallelujah. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus, people from Japan, praise Jesus. We're waiting for them to log in Jesus' name. From Canada, hallelujah, Australia, and so many countries, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shalom, heaven, shalom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your presence, let your anointing, let your power, let your power, let your power, let your glory, let your fire, Lord, especially in those cold states, Lord. In those cold states, Lord, we pray for fire. We pray for fire tonight, Lord, that you will warm the home. You will warm the life in Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Spirit will take the coldness away in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. We prayed, we prayed, we prayed, we prayed, we believe, we believe, we believe in Jesus' name. We claim your word, mighty Jesus, hallelujah. Whatever we ask in your name, it will be given to you. Hallelujah, Jesus' name, in your name, in your name, in your name. Whatever you ask in my name, it will be given to you by my Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Warm everyone, Lord, in the north, Lord. People in New York, to New York, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Connecticut, Massachusetts. Hallelujah, Maine, New Hampshire, Lord, we pray, we prayed, we pray, Lord, hallelujah, mighty Yeshua, mighty Yahshua, we pray, Lord, for your fire, we pray for your fire, in Jesus' name, warm their home, warm their life, in Jesus' name, warm their family, their animal, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Yahshua's name, thank you, Jesus, my goodness, I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, oil is being poured out from heaven right now. The angels are pouring out oil. I can smell the oil already. I thank you, Jesus. The oil is being poured out in Jesus' name. You're being prepared for the Lord Jesus. You're being prepared, hallelujah, to have the Lord visit your home, visit you, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Be in prayer with me. Be in repenting with me in Jesus' name. Repent your sin to Jesus. Say, Lord, I repent of my sin, Lord, that I have committed in this day in my life against you, against heaven. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for my sin. I'm sorry for my transgression through my eyes, through my ear, through my mouth, Lord, through my thinking, through my walk. In Jesus' name, I repent. I repent of my sin. I repent of my sin and my transgression against God in heaven. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. My goodness, Lord Jesus, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, we're going to pray for the sick. We are going to pray for the sick. We're going to speak the word first, and then we're going to pray for the sick, and the Lord is going to heal them, because by his wound, by his stripe, we are healed in Jesus' name. We're going to do what Jesus did. He spoke the word. He spoke the word, and so we're going to speak the word, and I'm going to go into the word right now in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 4, I thank you, Jesus. And Jesus returned by the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went a fame of him throughout the whole region around about, hallelujah, for he taught in the synagogue and was honored by all men. My goodness, hallelujah. He was honored by all men. And he came to Nazareth, where he has been brought up. Hallelujah. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So he was accustomed to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. That's what they do. They share the word in the synagogue. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And there was, hallelujah, and there was had delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is. "Because he has anointed me," amen, "that I should preach the gospel to the poor," amen. "He has sent me," amen, "that I should heal the brokenhearted, Jesus worked, that I should preach deliverance unto the captive, hallelujah, and recovering to the sight of the blind, that I should set liberty them that are bruised, hallelujah, and that I should preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closes the book, hallelujah, and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. Then he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ear. Tonight, the Lord is going to fulfill his word in your life. Hallelujah. It will be fulfilled in your life if you believe. Hallelujah. Everything is possible, Jesus said. Jesus thought. Jesus revealed to those that believe. I believe everyone here believe. I believe everyone that come to listen to the program tonight believe. And Jesus is going to bring his word to pass in your life, in your body, in your family, in your friends. Hallelujah. Whoever you're praying for, he is going to heal them. Because you are believing Jesus. You are believing him through his word. And his word cannot return void. It has to do what it was sent to them. Tonight we're going to send the word of Jesus, the word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to send it to the infirmity and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. We're going to send it to the sick and we're going to say, be healed in Jesus' name. We're going to send it over people's body and we're going to say, be healed in Jesus' name. By his stripes, by his wound, you are healed. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are healed. You're going to receive your healing. By Jesus, right? By Jesus' wound. Hallelujah. It had already been done. Over 2,000 years ago, your infirmity was crucified on the cross. So anything that is left for you is healing. Healing is part of you. It's part of the salvation. It's part of God's promise for your life, for my life. Because he conquered, hallelujah, our disease on the cross. He crucified them. They were in his wound. That's why by his wound, because Jesus was innocent. There was no guilt in him. He was not guilty of the charge. So everything that was supposed to be for you and I, he took it upon himself to give you and I healing, deliverance, freedom in God, who the Son set free is free indeed. He wants to heal you because he paid a high price on the cross for your healing, for your deliverance, for your freedom. He paid a high price. He paid with his own life. He was not guilty. Can you get that? Can you receive that? Yeshua, Jesus, was not guilty. He was innocent. He was innocent. So why did he take it on himself? To set you and I free. Hallelujah. So we will enjoy freedom. We will receive freedom when we receive Christ. Hallelujah. We will receive healing when we receive Christ. Healing is part of our promise. It's part of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. That's why the word was being fulfilled in Christ. And anyone who asks him for healing will receive healing. Anyone who believes him will receive healing. He's still the same Christ. He's still the same Savior. He's still the same. He loves you. And he wants you to enjoy freedom in him. Healing, deliverance. Pray hallelujah. The power of healing is in Christ. Right from the beginning, God wanted to let us know. The Lord Jesus wanted to let us know in his relationship with Abraham that his promise can come to pass to you and I. And so he used Abraham, a servant of his, to show us that if any man, no matter where he is, will believe Jesus, will believe God, God will make things possible for them. So he was hallelujah, a friend of Abraham, Abimelech. Hallelujah. You will say an enemy or a friend. Praise the Lord. Because Abimelech felt tricked by Abraham. And so the judgment of God came up on his own himself. Praise the Lord. But Abimelech actually blessed Abraham. God used him to bless him. And the Bible says in Genesis 27:17, then Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his woman, his servants, women and servants, and they were, hallelujah, and they bear children. They could not bear children because the hand of God was upon them. The curse, hallelujah, was coming upon them. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 curses were coming upon them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This word is eternal. This word is eternal. It was already coming upon them. They could not bear children. Hallelujah. Giving us a sign of what was coming. And that through prayer, through interceding to God, God was going to heal no matter what was the problem. God was going to heal. The servant cannot have children. Abraham prayed and God healed them and they bear a child. They bear children. Hallelujah. God indicating to us that we that are saved, we that are in Christ, can pray for the sick, can pray for any type of infirmity, and God will heal them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. He gave us a name that is above every name for you and I to pray for the sick. 2 Kings 2:21, and he went unto the spring of the water and cast there the salt and said, thus said the Lord, I have healed this water. There should no more come thereof, neither barrenness to the ground. So God gave, hallelujah, Elisha the word. Elisha takes on soul and go speak this word to the water. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. The soul, hallelujah, that Elisha cast into the water were you and I. Praise the Lord. We have to be cast into the situation for us to pray. We have to be put by God in the situation where people can come to us and say, I am sick, please pray for me. God told Elisha, take the soul. Jesus said, ye are the soul of the earth. Praise the Lord. We have been put in a situation by God where we're going to have to pray for people. There are so many sick people out there, so many infirmities, and God has put us in this time that we're living in. Hallelujah. So we can claim under the name of Jesus healing over the sick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Healing over the sick. But what does the water represent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right from the beginning, always move upon the water. He moves upon the water. That means you will need the Holy Spirit. You will need the Holy Spirit to pray for healing. You'll need the power. Act 1:8 says, thou shalt receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon thee. So you need the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit and led into the wilderness. Oh, this work of God, God had indicated how he wanted this to be performed, to be done. And it is by having the Holy Spirit upon your life. Jesus gave us the example. When he went to be baptized in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. So he received the Holy Spirit. And right when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he knew exactly where he needed to go. Praise the Lord. It could be also that the Holy Spirit needed to come upon him to guide him. Because many of us didn't know where we were going until God, hallelujah, sealed up with the Holy Spirit, then we knew what was the plan of God for our life. Then we had the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it also means that Jesus was waiting to be guided by God through the Holy Spirit. Where did God want him to go next? Praise the Lord. So we know because when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit got him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So it will mean also that the Holy Spirit guided Jesus. It shows that it guided him. It also shows here that in Luke chapter 4, praise Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. It says, verse 13, that Jesus returned by the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now the Holy Spirit was guiding him into Galilee. Now he had the power that whenever God wanted him to be, the Holy Spirit was going to guide him there. Was going to take him there, being with Jesus. Jesus walking in that power, and he could lay hands on people. He could pray for people, and they would be healed. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, to come tonight and use me as a vessel, as you use Jesus, as you use a disciple. Hallelujah, to heal the people as I speak the word of God. The word of God will not return void, that it must do what it was sent to do in Jesus' name, in Yeshua, in Jehoshua's name, that the sick will be healed tonight, the people will be baptized in Jesus' name, that they will receive the visitation of Jesus in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I'm speaking the word by faith. And I know by before this program ends, people will receive visitation. People will receive the healing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. He is so good. He is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so Elisha said, thou said the Lord, I am speaking the word of God. I have healed this water. Hallelujah. What God did on the cross to us through Jesus, he healed us. By his stripes, by his womb, we were healed. Hallelujah. We were healed. That means that healing has to come to pass. In the moment you believe, in the moment you believe and receive, the healing comes. It comes because you were healed already. You understand the secret about healing in the Lord? That you were healed already? By his wound, by his stripes, when he was crucified on the cross, you were healed. With what he did on the cross. All you need to do tonight is believe him, claim what he did, receive your healing in Jesus' name, and you will be healed. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's already been done. It's already been conquered for you. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 30:20 says, and the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. He healed them. Hallelujah. The Lord heard the prayer of Hezekiah for the people. And hallelujah. And God answered prayer. And that's exactly what we're doing tonight. We are praying for you. We are interceding for you. Hallelujah. And God hears the prayer. God hears my prayer. God hears your prayer. And what happens? He healed us. He healed his people. He heals the sick. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, all limitation on the internet, Lord, on Google, on Black Talk, Lord. Hello, Jesus, on the browser, whatever limitation of the devil or man, be broken in Jesus' name for people to log in and listen to the program and be healed, be baptized, be visited by you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He is so good. He is so wonderful. He is such a wonderful healer. Isaiah 53:5 said, but he, hallelujah, who he whom? Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was broken. Broken. Imagine that. Hallelujah. He was broken. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So you and I will receive, hallelujah. He was broken for our iniquity. Hallelujah. What a brokenness your iniquity brought on the life of Jesus. Chastisement of our peace upon him. Him. Hallelujah. With his stripe, we are healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the laying of hand over my brothers and sisters. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Yahshua. I ask you to lay hand on my brothers and sisters tonight. I ask you, Lord, to lay hand on the sick. Lord, whatever is hurting. Whatever is hurting, Lord. I ask you to go personally, Lord, and lay hand on them. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I repent all doubt and unbelief, Lord. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, rebuke all doubt and unbelief on your people. In Jesus' name, Lord, that they will receive the healing. They will receive the healing. In Jesus' name, they will be healed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, I thank you, Jesus. My goodness, hallelujah. The Lord is so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hosea 7:1 says, and, hallelujah, and when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. Therefore, they are falsely in the chief coming in, and the robber is spoiled without. Hallelujah. God will reveal when God moves. Hallelujah. He only doesn't move to heal, but also to reveal in Jesus' name. There will nothing hidden that will not be uncovered, the Bible says. Hosea 11:3. I left Ephraim also as one should bear them in his arm, but they knew not that I healed them. Some people get healed, they don't thank God. I want you to thank God tonight for your healing. Thank him for your healing. Praise him. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because he is the one doing it. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:24 said, and his fame spread abroad through all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick, all, hallelujah, that were taken with diverse diseases and tormented. And then they were possessed with devil, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and, hallelujah, and he healed them, hallelujah. Those infirmities were not stood against Jesus. He just went, my goodness, and healed them. Praise the Lord. I believe Sister Amy is on the line. I want to bring on Sister Amy. Shalom. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Elvie. God bless you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. We're glad to have you here, Sister Amy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are claiming healing over everyone's life. We are hoping tonight that everyone will be healed in Jesus' name, that by the stripe and wound of Jesus, hallelujah, you will be healed, that not one person tonight will go on, hallelujah, sick, that those sickness, we speak to those sickness in Jesus' name. Be thou removed in Jesus' name. Let healing come forward in Jesus' name. Let health come forward in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He is so good. He is so good, hallelujah. There's no power of the devil will stand against the power of God. People will be healed in Jesus' name. They will receive. Exercise your faith. Say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I believe. I believe your word. I believe your promise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it comes to pass through your life, hallelujah, because Jesus is faithful. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:8 says, but the centurion's answer saying, Master, I am not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I thank you, Jesus. My goodness, Jesus rejoiced when they heard such a faith. And said, he never seen such a faith in all Israel. Hallelujah. In all Israel, someone that just needed to hear the word. Hallelujah. The word is being played on the radios, on television, on the internet every day. So what is the problem, Brother Albie? Faith. Faith that come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you exercise the word, as you hear the word and you move by faith, and you say, God, I know you can make this happen. I know you can heal my daughter. I know you can heal my son. I know you can heal my friend. And you exercise your authority to prayer, and you claim God's promises. I'm telling you, he is going to make it to pass in your life. He is going to heal them. He's going to heal you. He's going to bring his word come to pass, because it cannot return void in Jesus' name. It cannot. It cannot. It has to come to pass. It has to be done, but it was sent to them. And we're sending the word of Jesus for you to be healed tonight in Jesus' name. In Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Believe. Believe it, and receive. I had a testimony of a sister, hallelujah, back then when we were confessing the word for healing. And she said, right from the beginning of the program, I got my healing. I said, what do you mean? I didn't even got deep into the word yet. I didn't even got into the word yet. And she said, I just started believing from when you started speaking, Brother Elvie, and immediately the power of God came in me and healed me. And I said, oh, that is lovely. That is beautiful. See, because when you exercise your faith, when you believe, what happens is you get healed. Because we're speaking about faith. We're speaking about healing. We're speaking of what God can do, and God can do all. There's nothing impossible for God. He can make everything possible in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus, Lord. Rebuke all demons and principalities. Satan, all demons and principalities, powers of evil, forces of evil from hell. Hallelujah, from the air, Lord, that I wanted to block people from getting in tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, put a hedge of protection around this program. I don't want everyone home, about everyone listening in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A hedge of protection and a wall of fire. Lord Jesus, a wall of fire according to Zechariah 2:5. In Jesus' name we ask. Thank you, Jesus, that it is being done. It is being done in Jesus' name. It is being done. Demons and principalities being blocked in Jesus' name by the power of God, by the power of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are claiming your word. Matthew 8:16 says, but when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word. Hallelujah. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed them that were sick. So what did Jesus do? What did he do for these people? Well, he used the word. He did it with the word. He did the miracle. He delivered them with the word. The word of God is alive. The word of God is true. So all we need is the word. Confess the word. Speak the word. Jesus spoke the word and people were healed. Jesus spoke the word and they were delivered. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, receive deliverance. In Jesus' name, be thou healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All things are possible for those that believe, Jesus said. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he departed hence, and great multitude followed him. And he healed them all. My goodness. Not one out of there walked up sick. Not one person. Not one child. Not one stranger. Not one alien walked out of there sick. They were all healed. They had many visitors from different nations. Imagine that they were all looking. Hey, a lot of people maybe didn't know what was happening there. But he healed them all. He made no exception for anyone. God, hallelujah, doesn't make exception for anyone. He doesn't reject anyone. He loves them all. He loves everyone. So he wants everyone to be healed. He wants them to enjoy freedom. He set them free, hallelujah, and they heal them by the word. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I bless the Lord, oh my soul, that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forgot not all his benefit, who forgave thy iniquity, who healed thy disease, who redeemed my life from the destruction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sister Amy, you want to read any verse? Let me know and just do it, Sister Amy.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. Brother LV, I want to go ahead and just read a verse right now.
Go ahead.
You know, and we need to claim this healing that the Lord gives us. Let this night be the night that you receive your healing, brothers and sisters. Let it not be like all the times in the past. Step out in faith and claim your healing in the name of Jesus. Because it says in his word in Psalms 107, verses 19 through 20, that then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distress. He sent his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. Praise God for God's healing, and it is in abundance, and we just have to step forth in faith and claim that healing. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the righteous shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Anyone who has been blood, who has been watched, who has given their life to Jesus, has been watched by his blood. You are righteous before God. That's what the blood of Jesus does in your life. Hallelujah. It cleanses you. Hallelujah. It gets you into position to be close with God. Hallelujah. And so you are righteous by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you can claim healing over your life. And you know what? It's going to come to pass. You probably have gone to churches. You maybe have gone to many places. You probably have many people pray over you. And you never got a healing. You know what? The Lord can heal you if you just believe. If you just believe, he can just heal you. You don't even need to have anyone lay hand on you in this moment. No one needs to be laying hand on you. All you have to do is just claim your healing and say, Brother Elvie, I agree with you. I pray for my healing or someone else's healing. In Jesus' name, I receive that healing right now. Receive that healing right now. The Lord is healing someone. I feel the anointing of healing flowing through me. Someone is being healed. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone has blood problem in their body and they're being healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blood clot is being removed in Jesus' name out of your body. Someone is being delivered out of the body, out of the chest, the pain. It just left you right now in Jesus' name. My goodness, you've been praying for this healing for a while. The Lord just give it to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. The Lord was letting me know this, hallelujah, so I will tell you about this healing. He just did on someone's life. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has already started healing his people. He's already healing his people. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Mighty Jesus, continue to heal your people, Lord. No matter what it is, heart attack, Lord. It's heart attack. Someone, hallelujah, is being attacked by heart attack. I come in agreement with you right now in Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus, by the wound. Right now, we command the heart attack to go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, right now. Heart attack, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus, you feel the anointing over your heart right now. Your heart is being anointing. You feel the power of God over your heart right now. We command the heart attack by the wound, by, hallelujah, by the wound of Jesus, by the stripe. You are healed. The Lord is saying you're healed. The Lord is saying you are healed now from the heart attack problem. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, remove everything out of that heart, that the person will not need to take medication anymore. In Jesus' name. I pray for a hedge of protection, the wall of fire. The devil will not be able to attack this heart no more. In Jesus' name, by the stripe and wound of Jesus. You are healed completely right now. The Lord just let me know. You are healed completely right now. Your heart, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's healed. It's healed. It's healed. Hallelujah. You feel much better. The pain is not there anymore. The pain is not there anymore in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus, for healing this heart, for healing this heart in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Give him strength. 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 It's a brother. It's a brother. Give him strength. Give him strength. You're a little bit overweight, but don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Jesus wanted to heal you. Thank you, Jesus. Take care. Take care. He will. Ask the Lord to help you to eat what he wants you to eat. Pray, hallelujah, pray that the Lord will show you what he wants you to eat. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. My goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He is so good. He is so good. He is so good, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Mighty Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to continue to heal your people, Lord. Continue to heal your people, Lord, no matter what's going on, Lord. We pray that you will heal them by your stripe, by your word, Lord. They are healed. We come in agreement, Lord, that you will continue to heal your people, Lord, for all infirmity, Lord. Anything that is not yours, mighty Jesus, mighty Lord, mighty Yeshua, mighty Yahashua, we pray, Lord, that you will remove it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, there's a back problem. The Lord is showing me a back problem. I'm someone listening right now in Jesus' name. This person has been, it's a sister. You've been having back problem for a while. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Back in, hallelujah, under your neck, down below. Hallelujah, there, hallelujah. You've been having problems. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I come against, Lord Jesus, the pain, this attack of the enemy over this back, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, your back, you've been kind of bent. Your head has been bent forward more than normal because of your back problem. In Jesus' name, right now, your back is being pulled back into normal place. In Jesus' name, you feel the anointing over your back in a special way. Your sister, you are feeling the anointing from the Lord in Jesus' name right now. Your back is being aligned in Jesus' name. Your neck is being aligned in Jesus' name. All principalities and demons, go in Jesus' name by the stripe of Jesus, by the wound of Jesus. You are healed. Hallelujah. You are healed. You are healed. Claim your healing. The anointing continue to get stronger on your back, sister. The Lord is working a miracle, a mighty miracle on your back. Your bones are being put together. You have banded bones. Back there, hallelujah, and the Lord is putting them together, the muscle, hallelujah, we're hurting for this, hallelujah, for years, but the Lord is healing you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, heal those wounds, Lord Jesus, all the tender, Lord, bring them back in position in Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus, by the wound of Jesus, you are healed. I thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, mighty Jesus. I thank you, mighty Lord. There are people having problems in the leg, hallelujah, blood problem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Many for overweight. Thank you, Jesus. Many are taking medications for these leg problems. They can hardly move. They can hardly go anywhere. But in Jesus' name, we come in agreement right now for those problems to go. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name. So we are able to move around the house in Jesus' name. Those leg problems in Jesus' name, we bind those infirmity. We command them to go. Go in Jesus' name. We completely claim healing right now by the power of Jesus, by the power, by the womb, by the stripe of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. I thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Move your leg now. Move your leg now. In Jesus' name. In Yeshua's name. In Jehoshua's name. In Jesus' name. The Lord is healing you. The Lord is delivering you right now. In Jesus' name. The devil wanted to hold you back so you will not be able to move. But in Jesus' name, you are being healed now. You are receiving complete healing in your leg right now. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Migraine headaches are leaving. Some of the people listening, migraine headaches just left you. Just left you, sister. Left you. It just left you, brother. Brother, it just left you instantly. As I pray for this other person, you felt that leave you in Jesus' name. That migraine headache that's been around your life for a while, the Lord says it's a generational curse. In Jesus' name, we come and agree and be in the same body of Christ, the same blood, being part of the same body in Jesus' name. We command that generational curse to be broken right now. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, I repent. Lord Jesus, break that in Jesus' name. Break that on my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Break that generational curse in Jesus' name. Be sealed with your blood and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, it is done. It is done. It is done. It is done in your life in Jesus' name. Receive that. Receive that. Your mind is clear. Your mind is clear. Sister, your mind is clear. Brother, your mind is clear now. In Jesus' name, that migraine headache is gone. It is gone. It is gone. Before you came on the Lord's Hour tonight, you were feeling that migraine headache coming upon your life. It's gone in Jesus' name. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. My goodness, Lord. I thank you. The Lord is healing people. The Lord is healing people. The Lord is healing his people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Let me tell you, I got my eyes closed. I don't know where you are. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The Lord is not even telling me where you are. He's just showing me what's happening in your body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm seeing you. Hallelujah. Being delivered by the Lord in Jesus' name for his glory, his praise. And you are being set free by Jesus right now in Jesus' name. Many are getting desperate. They want us to pray for, to get the gift of the Spirit, the gift. They want gifts. Some people want gifts tonight. Yes, don't worry about it. The Lord will give you some of your gifts. So, hallelujah, use it, hallelujah, for the benefit of the body of Christ. Use the gift for the benefit. If you get the gift of time, pray in time for the body of Christ, for people to be saved, for people to be strengthened, for people to be delivered, for people to be healed in Jesus' name. Pray for that the Lord will bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Someone is having pain in the lower back. Someone is having pain in the lower back. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I'm going to speak to the pain to leave you right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, pain in the back, you go in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, I claim healing. I claim healing over the back now. I claim that those muscles, hallelujah, will get stronger. Hallelujah, your back will align. Your back will align. Set straight now. Set straight now. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, I pray that your back will align. Hallelujah, normal in Jesus' name. And that pain is gone right now. It's gone. It's gone in Jesus' name. Receive the healing from the Lord. Receiving. It is the Lord healing you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. You sit back straight in Jesus' name. The pain is gone. The pain is gone. In Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I want people to email me. People that are getting healing, mighty healing from the Lord. Please email me and let me know. Give me your name. Give me a short testimony about your healing. Praise the Lord. I want people here on the Lord's Tower. I want to read it to them next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you say, well, I'm going to wait until next week to see. No, your healing has come. The Lord has healed you. And just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't get in doubt and unbelief. Praise the Lord and testify. Testify. You're going to be no pain tomorrow, no pain the weekend, no pain by Monday. You are healed by the stripe of Jesus. He healed you. Enjoy your healing and thank the Lord. Get closest to God now. We are soon to be going home. Get closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the healing he is doing. In Jesus' name, he is faithful. He loves you. He wants his people to be healed, be free. In Jesus' name, let me go into the word now. I thank you, Jesus. He is so good. My goodness, Lord. He is so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth inside a great multitude. He was moved. He was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. My goodness. He loved people. Hallelujah. He don't want to see anyone suffering. He was moved. He was moved. Hallelujah. And he heals the sick. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. He healed the sick as he was moved for his people, hallelujah. That great multitude, hallelujah. He saw that great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. He sees you suffering from any infirmity or anything in your life. Don't you think he's moved? Don't you think he has compassion on you? Do you think he wants to see you suffer? Hallelujah. He is moved by your suffering. He is compassion moving for you. He is for you. He's not against you. The devil is against you. The devil wants to see you sick. The devil wants to see you suffering. Not God. Jesus loves you. He gave his life on the cross for you. Don't want to see you suffering. Hallelujah. When you are suffering, he is moved in compassion. He moves in compassion. And that's why when we are suffering greater, sometimes we feel the presence of the Lord even closer and through suffering. Sister Amy, do you feel the Lord closer when you're suffering?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen. Amen, Brother Alvy. And if you don't mind, I'd like to speak to the brothers and sisters for a minute about
amen.
Something the Lord has really laid on my heart and began to speak to me even yesterday. And I know that many of my brothers and sisters right now are suffering and feeling, you know, really beat down right now and weak and you know, just really battling against the enemy. And the Lord's speaking to me about this right now. And, you know, it says in Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says, "To fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." It's not our righteousness, brothers and sisters, but it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he will strengthen us. And I know that, you know, right now the enemy is just coming up against us, but, you know, through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, we overcome. And the Holy Spirit was showing me yesterday in prayer, you know, we need to really seek wisdom in what we're praying to the Lord and coming up against the attacks of the enemy and when Satan comes and steals and hinders our healings and our deliverances. And just pray, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit will go before you and just blaze a trail to Father God, just to clear a path, that your prayers will not be hindered anymore, you know, in the name of Jesus. You know, let the Holy Spirit just come and blaze that path for you and just take out these hindrances in your life and the hindrances of the enemy and just cry out to God, because he will release his fire and he will burn up these works of darkness that's coming against you, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Amy. Praise the Lord. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah. He loves you so much. He's speaking, hallelujah, to his servant, hallelujah, just to comfort those that are really suffering. And there are many people suffering, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it was in his best interest to come tonight, hallelujah, and just heal those that are going through so much, hallelujah, and just been waiting on the Lord for a healing. Praise the Lord. And the Lord loves them so much. He don't want to see his children suffering. He wants everyone to be well. Hallelujah. And this is why it says that he was moved. Jesus was moved when he saw the multitude. Hallelujah. Another one, Matthew 15:30 says, "And great multitude came unto him, having with them halted, blind, dumb, maimed, and many other, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." They went and threw him on his feet and said, "Here it is. Here they are." Hallelujah. But, you know, it's like those that I say, well, if you can heal them, heal them. There they are now. We throw them at your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what did he do? He healed them. He didn't say, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Why would you do something like that?" No, he healed them. He had compassion because he knew exactly why they were doing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They were not doing it for themselves. They were doing it for the needy. Those that needed God, that needed a healing, and they put it at Jesus' feet. And what did Jesus do? He healed them.
Yeah.
That's how much he cared for you and I. He don't want us suffering. He wants us to be healed. Matthew 19:2 says, "And great multitude follow him, and he healed them there." He didn't make them wait. oh, hold on, that I need to be in prayer before I can do this. No, no, he healed them there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I'm confessing the word right from the beginning of the program, because the Lord can hear you right from the beginning. You don't need to wait to the end or to the middle. The Lord can hear you right from the beginning in Yeshua, in Jehoshua, in Jesus' name. If you believe, he'll heal you. He'll do the healing in your life. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. He is a healer. He loves you. He's moved by your, by hallelujah, and compassion for you. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to heal you. Matthew 21:14, and the blind and the whole that came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. You know, he was in the temple on the Sabbath. He was there, you know, on the Sabbath to be with his brothers and sisters. But what did Jesus do? He had compassion on the people there that were sick. Healed them. That was the job of the priest. The priest should have been one praying for them. But Jesus is a priest of priests, and he lay hand on them. He healed them. He healed them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're not like any other man. Thank you, Jesus. You are different, and you have compassion on us, Lord. Mark 1:34, and he healed many that were sick and devised diseases, and he cast out devils and suffered another devil to say that they knew him. He shut them off. Be quiet and don't say anything to anyone. That I am he. Hallelujah. That made everyone. Hallelujah. That formed everyone in their mother's womb. He is the one that formed us and know us. Hallelujah. Keep quiet, you devils. Mark 3:10. For he had healed many in so much that they pressed upon him to touch him as many as had plague. My goodness, if the Lord had a hard job from God. People were pressing on him on the street. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They were all, my goodness, pressing on him. Hallelujah. And he didn't even complain. If that would have been done to us, we would have been, we would have done lawsuit. We would have, hallelujah, gone to court and pressed lawsuit against all these people. Hallelujah. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. No, 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 no. He loved them. He cared for them. He wanted to see them healed. And so he wants to see you healed tonight. He wants you to be healed tonight. And Jesus, now, not an hour more. No, this word needs to come to pass in your life tonight, that everyone listening will be healed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Elaine, I don't know why you're stopping now, brother. Hallelujah. The Lord just indicated me to pray for you. Hallelujah. I want you, brother Elaine, please lay hand where it's hurting right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Brother Elaine, please lay hand. I think it's on your side of your stomach. On your side, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. The Lord just indicated that to me now. Lay hand right there, what's hurting. I'm going to come in agreement for you people and the people listening, people at home. Everyone, please come in agreement with me for Elaine, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord want to heal this brother right now. The Lord want to take this pain. The Lord want to take this infirmity. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, in Jehoshua's name, he took your infirmity, hallelujah, upon him in the cross. He suffered for you by his stripe, by his wound, Elaine. You are healed in Jesus' name. I command that to God on your body right now. In Jesus' name, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua right now. Mighty Lord right now, lay hand on the Elaine, lay hand. He has fasted for the, he has believed this. He has claimed your promise. He has believed you. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray in agreement right now that will go, that pain will go, that infirmity will go right now. In Jesus' name, we'll go in Jesus' name. Thank you. Just feel the anointing right now. Elaine is anointing right now in your side. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, the Lord is doing something in you right now. The Lord is healing you right now. It's coming now. It's coming to pass right now. In Jesus' name. And Yeshua, I praise him. Praise him, brother. Praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. The anointing is on you right now. In Jesus' name. You feel the anointing all over your body right now. In Jesus' name. Thank him. Thank him from your shoulder down. You feel the anointing. You feel